Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I saw various things to bring up to you guys this morning.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's,
I'm reticent to say it.
What?
Are these things you've noticed?
I guess, you know what?
Are these things you've found in your junk drawer?
No. I cleaned out the junk drawer yesterday, so I noticed this. A 9-year-old boy, did you see this? Completed a swim through San Francisco Bay all the way to Alcatraz and back.
Whoa.
9-year-old boy?
Yeah, isn't that like shark infested?
It is shark infested. Hmm. In fact, it's one of the reasons why Alcatraz was set up where it was. Of course, the fact that it was a removed island was part of the deal as well, but the waters are notoriously shark infested.
So is this a new segment? Maybe Preston's various things?
Preston's amazing children.
Hold on.
Preston's various things. Preston's various things.
What is that? What does he say?
Preston's various things.
Oh!
Preston's various things. Preston's various things.
I thought it was Preston's very stains.
No. Preston's various things.
Oh.
So there's a picture of the kid who looks like he's 70 years old. I guess that's all the stuff on his face from swimming, or maybe just pruned up.
He does. That's what I was thinking.
Looks like a dwarf.
He looks like a dwarf. Yeah.
Now, they probably put that.
I'm 78 years old.
there's a petroleum jelly they can put on their skin.
Yeah. When they have them swim in waters that are shark infested, or obviously there's an issue. Sometimes they'll have them swim in a very large cage that's being towed.
I didn't see a cage. I just saw somebody with a kayak next to him.
Yep. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, man. F that.
Yeah, it was his dad and his coach.
In the safety of a boat.
Yeah, but they wanted this kid to do it on his own.
He's not going to learn how to swim to Alcatraz if we don't let him do it.
James Savage is his name. He's hoping to be the youngest swimmer on record to make the swim. The title is currently held by a 10-year-old.
What?
Yeah. It ended with smiles and cheers as James walked on shore hours after hours in the bay. James, who began the swim at 7 a.m., and it took him a little over 2 hours to complete the feat, said he had struggled for a bit out of the open water about 30 minutes into the swim.
He had to punch away about 4 or 5 sharks.
James said the waves were hitting him, and the current was too strong, making it difficult for him to fight them. In the end, however, with help from his coach and a promise from his dad, James...
I'll feed you.
From his father, James found his second wind, and he was off. I said, I wanted to turn back, but they kept yelling, I believe in you. I believe in you. You can do it.
If you do this, Daddy won't withhold his love anymore.
Actually, James's father said that if James completed the swim, he would give him $100.
The hell with that.
And on the water, James' father upped the offer to $200 just to get James going again. And he
$200 and a 9-year-old girl.
Now that... this swimming feat is completed. James said his next goal is to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Are you a particularly good swimmer, or a strong swimmer?
I'm a good swimmer. I've never gone for endurance swimming. I have no idea.
Have you ever swam to Alcatraz?
I've not swam to Alcatraz. I do love to be in the water, and I like swimming. And I would like to think, you know, but of course, currents and all that stuff are a whole other thing. But I would like to think that I could be able to last a while. In water. Now, it also depends on temperature and current. Those are two things.
And wetness.
And all the wetness.
It's so wet in there. I used to spend all the time, you know, swimming out in lagoons and, you know, kind of some distance swimming.
Yeah.
And now the thought is alien to me, you know.
I just don't like the idea of sharks. Like, I would totally do that swim if it was like in a lake, you know?
Yeah. Unless it's Lake Nicaragua, which I believe has sharks in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here, Casey, to answer the shark question, John on the line has actually swam from Alcatraz.
Oh.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up, my man?
So, I just got back. There was a race that I did out in San Francisco just over the weekend called Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon, where you swim the San Francisco Bell. It drops you off on the opposite side of the southeast tip of the island, and you swim back to shore. It's about 1.75 miles altogether if you can't swim straight like me.
Okay. Well, the current in the bay is very strong, correct?
The current is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So between the 3-foot wave swells at least or more.
That's a lot.
If you're not swimming, if you're not a strong swimmer, you're going to go out to the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
they have they've got tons of people that are on kayaks that go around you, but this is like a massively sanctioned event. This boy that swam, he's a brave soul, because I don't know if I could have done that by myself.
Wow. All right. So it says here that the shark situation is not as bad as Steve had said.
No, it's the way how they describe it, it's called like that brackish water, where it's half salt water and half fresh water.
Okay.
You can tell when you're in there that it's a little different, but they and all the race officials, what they do is they insist that the few sharks that could be in the water, they're way down low because they can't stand to be up close to the surface of the water.
Oh, that would provide good comfort to me to know that the sharks were down a few feet lower than they normally are.
The only problem is that because the bay is so deep, if you look straight down, it's like dark.
Yeah.
But with the sun coming up, it lights up the top of the water. And if there's people swimming next to you, what you see is all the shadows of their arms and their legs. They're just moving back and forth. And you think there's something underneath you, but there's nothing. You
have to, No.
If you get out of your head, then if you don't get out of your head, then you're going to have like these like mental trips about thinking that there's so many different wildlife things that are underneath me. Like, oh my goodness, there's like a seal. There's something underneath me. It's going to come up and eat me.
Well, John, I commend you for that, but there is no way in this universe I would ever do anything like that. We've all had that thing where you're standing there in the surf and a piece of seaweed hits your ankle and you have a full-blown coronary.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. There are some people that I know that go out there and do it every single year. I would like to do it again because it was, like, so unique. When you jump off the boat and, like, you stop for a second, you turn around and, boom, there's Alcatraz right behind you.
Then
you swim all the way back to shore and you get to shore.
Yeah.
And then you realize, holy crap, did I just really swim that?
I did that, yeah.
Well, it used to be a thing. I mean, it used to be one of the big foreboding issues of Alcatraz, and that they'd say you could never make the swim from the island to the shore. And so you did something that actually a number of prisoners died attempting to do.
Yeah, actually, this year it was kind of unique because there was a story going around in San Francisco about how there was a descendant from somebody that actually escaped from Alcatraz.
Yes.
Like a distant family member had actually went back and did the race this year.
Oh, interesting.
Somebody that actually escaped from the island.
That's one of the great legends of Alcatraz, those guys that escaped that they never were able to account for. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
See you. Hang on.
Would you ever?
No. No, I have no interest in stuff like that. But Jay actually did the Alcatraz swim as well. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I did talk to you guys last year. I speak California lifeguard and talked to you guys about, unfortunately, those kids that died off the Jersey Shore. But
oh, right. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like you told me some last year. It's a real fun event, a local event. They do it a couple times a year. There's actually a Bay Area where they do the swim. 9 years old, though, seems a little young to do it. When we've done the swim, you see some teens. It's mostly kids on, like, the swim team, the local junior lifeguards. But, like, 13, 14 years old, I don't think I've ever seen a 9-year-old do it before. So this is pretty impressive.
Well, Jay, I'm looking at the entrance form here to participate in it. You can swim it or you can walk across on the backs of the sharks.
Yeah, that's an option.
Yeah.
There's a balance kind of issue there. No, but usually, though, the issue is that you're not really worried about the sharks because there's so many people doing the swim. And like the gentleman said, a call before, there's guys guiding the swim with kayaks. And
yeah.
It's sanctioned. But to have a kid do it, I mean, I'm sure his dad knew what he was doing. You do have to time it. The currents up there are super strong, so you do have to time it between the ebb and flow because otherwise you'll end up in the ocean. It's really strong, and you have to do it. There's a couple times a day where you can do it.
Do you think it's all we know that sharks are attracted to, you know, splashing, but when you have that many people in the water, as with these big races, that might be something that scares them away, correct?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And you try not to think about it when you're doing it. I mean, we've done it with as few as a couple dozen people. Like I said, there's a couple times where there's a couple smaller local fundraising events, and you might have maybe just a couple dozen people.
Yeah, that's all I would be thinking about. And I would surround myself with swimmers.
It's an amazing swim, though. It's definitely something you should try.
But kudos to you again.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Well, this kid's 9 years old, and he may have set the record for it. So
9 years old.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yep. I noticed something else.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Preston Elliott, the Noticer, the early edition.
There are more than 285 million people in the world who are blind or visually impaired, but not many porn websites cater to the blind.
How would a porn website cater to the blind?
I guess you just hear the audio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there on the videos, there are audio tracks. So, yeah. There you go. Fortunately, Pornhub has just created a new category of porn called described video that adds special narration to already existing porn films.
Oh, we got to get one of those.
The female narrators fill in the details for visually impaired viewers.
We should have Kathy do that. Ew! Oh, no! No way, Jose.
Thank God you're blind.
Oh, my God. You are lucky you're blind, you can't see this, and I bet it smells. Oh, especially in there? Gross.
The female narrators fill in the details for visually impaired viewers.
Why the hand? What could that possibly do?
How could that even
be pleasurable?
It's so stupid. It's just a hand.
It's just a hand. It's not the real thing.
God, you're never going to give it up, are you?
No, it's dumb. Never. I'm 37. I think it's stupid. I'm
the
not going
to
change.
The mouth, you use that to eat and sing.
Eat and sing.
That's not, well, it's just not the, I don't get it.
Like, why don't you just give in on the hand thing? It's a good thing.
Steve learned to love salmon, right? Steve came around on a new dish in his life, and it's
I rub salmon all over my junk.
And it's not for you to get enjoyment out of. It's for the other person. So what if you don't understand it or not? It is pleasurable.
Right. Yes, I understand that. I don't understand. I don't understand how. It's just a hand.
You don't need to.
I
prefer you left this conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bill doesn't like these.
Oh, he doesn't like that
just
either?
Suggest anything that's graphic or can be perceived as graphic.
It's just a hand.
Yeah, what's sexy
By
about
the way,
a hand?
I think we had some stuff running up on the screens here, and I think it was British. Have you noticed, Preston, that British porn
is on the rise
and has a better looking acting family or stable? I don't know. I just noticed. A friend who surfs porn noticed this.
The female narrators fill in.
Steve's friend who surfs porn noticed this.
Female narrators fill in the details for visually impaired viewers, describing the setting, the actors, what positions they are in, and even their outfits.
Wow. Oh, yeah. The outfits are so important.
For instance, one video begins. A white woman in a cheap-looking red power suit sits next to a tall, white, lanky middle-aged man with brown hair, a white shirt, a gray suit, and a red striped tie.
Can we get some audio?
There are an awful lot of colors being described in this, and if you were blind from birth, that would mean absolutely nothing
to you,
wouldn't it?
Well,
right?
I don't know.
Huh.
Well, also, you have not ever actually seen
some people
you know your genitalia, but if you're a guy,
yeah.
You've only tactile knowledge of
female genitalia.
Yeah.
Well, so what? So it's still all they've known, and they still, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's still something there for them.
Yeah.
But then again, also people aren't, not all blind people are.
So this big black dude walks in. Or
blind.
Chicks on the couch. She gets all turned on. He's got pizza, and then he bang.
Gets slightly more exciting after the description of what they're wearing. So far, Pornhub offers 50 enhanced audio videos. Made from the site's top viewed straight, female-friendly, gay, and bi videos.
You want to hear some?
Yeah, we got some audio of this, so let's
try it.
This
is Pornhub's descriptive audio.
Now, this is clean to play?
Yeah, bleeped out.
Okay.
Of the video, Sensual for Extra Small Babe by Nubile Films. The film stars Doris Ivey and is 8 minutes and 42 seconds long.
Oh, 8 minutes and 42 seconds long.
The film opens with the silhouette of a notably tiny woman seen through a white-screened doorway. You can also see the silhouette of a coniferous tree.
Fast forward.
Fast forward, right? Exactly. Blind people are no different.
Beside her, or a bush. So it looks like she...
Wait. Is she talking about what kind of bush?
No, regular actual bush.
The first tree beside her, or a bush. So it looks like she is perhaps just outside of an apartment doing a dance.
Case, play this in can you speed it up at all? So
I can't. No, I can slow it down.
Or someone on the inside. She moves very slowly and sensuously, twirling around and sometimes just striking a pose against the post of the door.
Wait, pause for a second.
She's got acne all over her body, and a fly keeps landing on her naked boob. She's got one slightly gray tooth. It appears as if she has some sort of moderate drug addiction. She's clearly doing this film to earn money to buy meth. Then a black guy comes to the door. The black guy you've seen in all of these.
You know him.
And he's got a pizza.
This is the amateur porn.
Yeah, yeah. That
she's, she's got a slightly gray tooth.
Clearly some sort of moderate drug addiction involved. And I'm guessing daddy issues.
Poo tooth.
A pronounced poo tooth. Like Jewel, but with a poo tooth.
I wonder, on a basic level, do you think you could work it up for this if you were to sit at home, eyes shut?
A non-blind person? No, not the way this is being described.
It's like once you've had regular ice cream.
Now, listen. You know what I'm saying, right? When I was younger, a teenager, there used to be this thing called the 976 exchange.
Absolutely.
Steve, you know this,
right? I know it well. Commercials would run for it.
All right, what is it?
So you would call. It was in New York.
Yes.
So it had a New York prefix, and it was, so it would be like 212-976-2828. You know, and all the numbers were like that. It was like 29, 29, 55, 55, blah, blah, blah. It had almost an alliterative in a number way.
Yes, yeah. So that you could remember.
Oh, Casey, yeah. I called it all the time. And it was recorded phone sex.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the, ooh, I'm Jenny and I just turned 18. Right. You know that clip that you play. Only it didn't just stop at a tease. It went down.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and I just turned 18, and I've never been hornier ever.
But this audio would go on to describe what this girl was doing to you right then and there. Ooh, let me undo your pants, you know, right. and it would go on and on. And you know what? It was enough for me, man. I totally.
It was like reading.
I called that all the time, and I got around it because a friend of mine, Steve, do you remember what was called a Watts line?
Oh yes,
a Watts line was a way for you to make free long distance phone calls, and my parents never found out about it.
Wait, who was paying for the call then?
It was a friend of mine's dad had a Watts line or something like that. And it was like a 17 digit number that you had to call.
It was
with different prompts and all this stuff. And then, you know, 212-976-2828. I call it, and it was crazy, man. And that was enough for me. So a blind person
I'm just wondering if this could work. But now that you've been to the, now that you've had a full sensory. I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably
now.
Not, right?
Yeah.
But at that time, when you're that cranked up at that age, yes.
Marissa has a question.
Well, not a question. A statement. You guys haven't experienced these videos because you guys are just talking about them. That was the only part of the entire video that we could play on the air.
Well, let me ask you this. What it comes after that, does the narrator continue or does it just go straight to the audio from the... Oh, and the narrator continues.
The narrator continues
and says that he is putting this there, and she is doing this to that. And
oh, yeah.
So even with editing, there'd be no way to.
No, it's pretty much like if you were just at home watching porn and talking it out and describing it to your friend.
Oh, by the way, I hate in porn when the guy barks out commands, and especially when it's actually already being done.
Let me ask you this, Marissa: the narrator, is she saying? She using graphic words?
Yes. So I just put up another video, and it was a lovely couple, and they were having breakfast.
We have a clip here, Preston.
We were pretty much there long ago.
And
six to midnight.
There was a lot of love in the family.
I don't know. I think of like a Danielle Steele novel where it's like, oh, he takes out her breast, and it's very pretty. No, it's like he whips out her tea and starts.
He's a tea drinker.
Okay. Yes. All right. Nice. Very nice.
Earl Grey.
Hang on a second. Let me. Earl Grey.
Earl Grey. Privilege. Not everyone can afford Earl of Grey.
Hang on, let me go to Kevin here. Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Preston, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Great, man. What's up?
I got a little comment. I used to be in banking, and I would call on two companies in the Philadelphia area that actually run call centers for those 976 numbers, And ironically, one of them was up near Sesame Place up in Langhorne. So I'm kind of curious to see if Kathy might have worked there part time back in the day.
976.
Nice, Kevin.
No, oh, gross.
It was actually pretty funny because there was actually some workers there. You know, I mean, it wasn't your typical. Trailer trash woman sitting there with a Marlboro hanging out of her mouth and a bottle of Jack Daniels in her hand.
You know what? It's funny because we had that we know a girl through the show who is very attractive and has another occupation that's just sort of like found money. But she did the phone sex line thing. I think the
forgot who that was.
Yeah, I did too.
I can write down the name if you want.
She was a massage therapist.
Yes.
And we had her in. Yeah, we haven't had her in years.
I've seen her. I saw her recently. I think maybe
you have to write it.
Erin McGarity.
No, stop that.
But the classic image is of, you know, it's a woman sitting there with a Marlboro hanging out of her mouth.
Yeah, she's got a child.
Right. Yeah.
I remember. All right. Interesting. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it. Let's go to one of the guys that you'll see at a lot of our events. Is Tucker, and he is blind. Hey, Tucker, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. So, weigh in. What do you think? Would this work for you?
I'm not a big porn guy, but they've had narration and on DVDs and movie theaters actually have headphones now for the blind.
Oh, that's interesting.
We have a clip.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
You like that?
Steve's killer.
I would like you to unhook your bra and let it slide down your arms. You can keep your shirt on.
Bill O'Reilly narrates porn.
It's really good.
Cup your hands under your breasts and hold them for 10 seconds.
Hey, Tucker.
No longer.
So you're not into this, but do you see this as a viable thing for the blind?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Okay.
If you're into porn and you're blind, yeah.
The deaf are already covered because I don't even listen to it with the sound up.
Yeah.
You know? But, it's interesting.
Yeah, if you can see, you wouldn't need the sound.
Do you know what, though? You might benefit, Tucker, because... You're naturally going to create the image of much more attractive people in your mind than are actually in these films.
Probably.
All right. Thanks, Tucker.
To Kathy thing real quick about the colors.
Yes.
Most of the blind people I know have not been blind from birth. It seems to be, in most cases, something that comes on later.
Okay. Oh, wow. So the majority of people you know have experienced color.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tucker. We'll see you soon.
You guys
are. All right, bye-bye.
He won't see us.
I still like the... Oh, shut up. I still like the idea of them being very honest with the appearance of people in the porn films. And because, if you get your lower budget stuff, they're not going to be real hot.
A man walks into the room with a slight hunchback. He's got a poo tooth. It's clear no one would make love to him until he unzips his pants. Then his large, sort of misshapen penis draws attention. You can clearly tell by the woman's face that there's some sort of odor associated with this private party. But she'll continue anyway because she needs the $50 to buy Coke.
Oh, boy.
Seems to be a director yelling at her off screen.
It's an odor.
A pronounced odor.
You can tell by the look on her face.
As her face draws closer to his privates, her eyes start to tear, as if she was cutting an onion.
Marissa found some more that we can play. She edited it, so I think she's edited up.
God bless her.
This is the graphic
beep,
stuff.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, here we go.
He gets on his knees to properly worship her and now pulls up her sheet to handle a sweet ass.
Sweet ass. Not everyone has a sweet ass.
I'm not going to play anymore.
That's it?
Well, he's trying
Kathy
to show...
Kathy was just getting off.
Still on his knees and kissing her. There is a transition, and now she's on the table.
A transition.
They switch positions.
It's a jump cut.
They switch positions. Hang on.
While he's on his knees and eating like it was the best breakfast ever.
Oh, my God. Yes. How was that, Kat?
The best breakfast ever.
Like sugar smacks.
Oh.
Or frosted mini wheats. It's at this point the smell hits her. Her knees buckle. She seems to cough a little bit. But in her mind, you can tell her yearning for cocaine drives her. Childhood memories begin to well up.
Pornhub Vice President Corey Price says the new genre makes porn more accessible to those who may not otherwise be able to appreciate it. He said, it's our way of giving back.
God bless those people.
And we're excited to hear what people think about it.
You know, people talk... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It falls under the category on Pornhub. They have a YouTube channel. I'm not making this up. It's Pornhub Cares.
Pornhub wow. Cares. Yeah. You don't see commercials for that on TV.
Yeah. They also have videos about hardcore corn, which is pretty funny.
Hardcore corn.
Yeah.
I love it. All right.
There's a lot of shucking involved.
Anyhow.
He begins to shuck the corn.
Just thought that'd be something you'd be interested in hearing today.
Yeah.
All right.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, yes, that mix of blues and country and rock and all that stuff from Kaleo comes... from Iceland.
Yes.
Believe it or not, which is pretty wild. But now they're a stateside. Happy to have him. Please welcome Kaleo here, guys.
Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
So we have JJ and David and Daniel and Ruben, the band all together. You guys have been playing together for quite some time.
Quite some time, yeah.
How long has that been?
Well, the band is about 3 years old.
About 3 years old?
Yeah.
But, how old are you, JJ?
Well... what do you think?
You look like you're 18.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, good.
That's a good thing.
I just woke up. Me, Danny, and David, we've known each other since school, like 14, 13, 14. Okay.
Did you all meet, was it Reykjavik, I guess? Where is that? Am I pronouncing that correctly, by the
way?
Yeah,
yeah. It's a small town right outside of Reykjavik.
Sure, okay.
It's about a few minutes drive.
Were you drawn together? I mean, how do you get in touch with each other? You're just at local clubs and you say, I like the way you play, or just buddies?
We were forced upon another in a class.
Okay.
In school. But, we had the same interest in classic rock at the time, you know, so.
Well, you can clearly hear that in the song we just played.
Right,
and, you know, you tend to think, though, it's funny because there are bands coming out of Iceland that are really embracing the real rock sound,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. And you guys, it's a very authentic sound.
Is that prevalent in, say, Icelandic radio? Will you hear a lot of rock-flavored music, or did you guys have to go and kind of search it out?
I think so, in a way. But it's also very popular. Like, what kind of rock? You know, maybe more indie and stuff. That's been popular.
Okay. Yeah,
what I like about you guys is that the first song I heard you guys do was a song called Way Down We Go. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was All the Pretty Girls, mm-hmm. and then the third one was No Good, and all three of those songs are completely, they don't sound anything alike. I'm like, okay, what is the sound of this band? Because whatever I've just heard, it sounds great, so I like that you guys haven't really pigeonholed yourself into, like, one particular sound yet.
Yeah, yeah. That's on purpose, you know, we just, it is diverse, and we like it that way.
I assume it could also be a blessing and a curse, because people have short attention spans,
exactly.
And they want to be able to say, okay, that's what these guys are, so that it's harder, I guess, to kind of be, oh, okay, I know this band, so it can work for you and against you.
Sure. But,
Was that just part of the fact that you all have very sort of an eclectic musical taste, or?
I don't know. It's just when you write a song, you don't always feel the same way. So
right.
I guess it's just...
A lot of people will take those feelings on writing in a similar style.
I guess so.
You're, you know, to write as a diverse...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just I write the song and then just you kind of do what's right for the song.
Right,
know?
Right.
Well, 3 years as a band, you guys, at least in your native country, really... you hit very quickly, from what I understand. Within the matter of 6 weeks, you had like 5 number one singles on the radio in Iceland.
Mm.
When you're your age and you've been together for that short amount of time, I mean, number one, you have to have talent to back it up. But you do realize how kind of lucky you are that it hit that quickly. A lot of people spend years and years and years cranking it out and pushing and working really, really hard.
And they hate your guts, by the way, those
people. Yeah, sure, those people hate you. No, but is that's not lost on you, is it?
No, I mean, we were really happy and fortunate back home. Yeah, we had a lot of success really quickly. So, and now fortunate enough being here and you know playing in the States. So it's been an adventure. You know, the last two or three years. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of Austin? Because I know you guys have set up camp in Austin, Texas.
We love Austin.
It's neat, right?
We wish we get more time to spend there. You know, we're pretty much just on the road.
I assume Austin's exactly the same as Iceland, right?
Exactly the same.
So yeah. I watched. I fell into a YouTube hole of watching a bunch of your music, some live performances, some videos, and I listened to your Icelandic music, and there was a particular video called Rock and Roll that I really, really liked. I liked the video. It basically follows these kids. They just go and raise hell all throughout the town, and, you know, they're a-holes, basically. And then they happen upon a rock concert, and that's where they actually fit in. I don't know if that was, you know, what
was... That was actually a concert we played, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called a culture night in Iceland. We actually have, like, 50, 60,000 people coming out to this show. You know, and numerous of acts playing live is... Pretty awesome.
Well, when I first plugged in to YouTube, Kaleo, I put the band name in there. The very first video that came up was you guys in a volcano playing. So I watched that, and you know, part of it is you guys getting there and then going down into it and all that. How did that happen? Was that your idea, or did someone say, you guys got to go play the volcano room?
No.
You
know
what I mean? Hey, we booked you a volcano.
Yeah. No, it was, I think Danny mentioned that you could do that in Iceland, and we were last summer, we thought, why not? You know, so we reached out to some of the folks that are, you can do it in Iceland if you're a tourist, you know, you can go down there, and it was quite more of a task than maybe we realized at first.
Yeah. How long did it take?
The whole thing was like 23 hours.
Oh, yeah. How did it smell in there?
Sulfur, I would assume.
Not too bad. We can't really smell that anymore because we're used to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
nice.
Funny because with the band named Kaleo and then you guys going into a volcano, I didn't know anything about you guys. I didn't know you're from. I thought you guys were Hawaiian. I swear to God, I'm watching this video. Yeah. And then when I finally read up on you guys, oh, they're Icelandic. I had no idea. I mean, you guys look like you could be from Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii is known as
18-year-old from Hawaii.
Right. Hawaii is known as Little Iceland. So, yeah.
Well, we're here to clear up all these little misconceptions. Right. That's why you're in town. You're playing the Foundry tomorrow night.
Great room, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. You guys are going to love it. But we're dying to hear you play this morning. So, what song are we going to get out of you right now?
Absolutely. So, first one, Broken Bones.
Broken Bones. All right. It's Kaleo, 93.3 WMMR.
The devil's gonna make me a free man. The devil's gonna set me free. The devil's gonna make me a free man. The devil's gonna set me free.
The devil in the eye, I hope it's gonna break his chains. Yeah, the devil's gonna make me a free man. The devil's gonna set me free. The devil's gonna make me a free man. Yeah, the devil's gonna set me free. I saw my chance, so I got him at last. I took his six shooter, put two in his chest. He'll never say a word no more. Lord, he'll never say a word no more. The devil got him good for sure. Ain't got no place to call our home. Only chains and broken bones. Ain't got no place to call our home. So
Come on, Lord, what you waiting for? Ain't got no place to call our own. Only chains and broken bones. Ain't got no place to call our own. So come on, Lord, won't you take me now? Gonna set me free. The devil's gonna make me a free man. The devil's gonna set me free.
Yeah. I'm like, is that a dramatic pause?
Yeah.
What do we do? Do I interrupt with a clap? No.
Yeah, because you don't want to be that dick who ends up on the live album going, "Wah!"
Oh, sorry, man. Kaleo on 93.3.
Yeah, that was awesome.
WMMR, Everything That Rocks. We're getting a lot of great responses on our text messages. And they're going to be playing tomorrow night at the Foundry, which is at the Fillmore, the newest venue in town, if you haven't been there yet. And JJ, the lead singer, what did your parents think when a voice like that started coming out of a guy like you? Because, I mean, it's got a lot of soul. And
a lot of hard living.
And looking at you, one would not guess that voice would come out of you. So,
of the 18-year-old.
Of the 18-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any music influences? Your family, your parents, your mom or dad sing or anything like that?
My dad does play. He taught me to play guitar and stuff.
Okay.
I think I got really good parenting, on their behalf. Just because they introduced me to, this classic music from their age.
Yeah.
So I guess that really...
It's weird, though, because you always assume that... I always assume that when someone sings that soulfully and you guys have that certain sound that you've had to have, got into a few knife fights with hookers and things. So, you had to live a little hard. Saying that you didn't. But, it's just something I guess you either got or you don't, because I assume that's something that comes through attrition, through, living the hard lifestyle.
Yeah, we're all in Iceland, man.
You guys just tear it up. You're playing volcanoes for crying out loud.
Right,
so there you go.
Yeah. Well, where else have you guys been and where are you going? I know that you guys are playing the Firefly Festival coming up this, this summer, which is it's a fairly new festival, but it does really, really well.
I've heard great things, yeah.
Yeah, so you're doing a couple of festivals and playing small clubs?
Yeah, we're actually doing our first headlining show right now. Mm-hmm. We've already played Nashville, and we just came from...
D.C.?
There you go.
Nice.
And we're heading down to New York, Boston as well.
The only reason I knew it was D.C. was because I just checked your Instagram page, and apparently your bus broke down while you guys
Thank
were
you.
In town.
Yes, it did. We got it fixed, though.
We assume, Andy. You didn't hitch up here.
Was Nashville a pretty cool experience? Because,
yeah.
I mean, you guys clearly, you've got a country influence that's running through there, and blues, and that all comes
Absolutely.
From that area as well.
Yep. And we've been recording the album there.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, it should be out hopefully next summer.
Nashville's become a wholly other animal. It is now Music Central, and not just the association always used to be straight up country, and it's
Absolutely.
Not that. It's everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, nice. What studio are you guys recording in? Do you know?
Blackbird.
Is that where the Foo Fighters did their song down there?
Probably. I mean, everyone's worked there. Kings of Leon, Jack White's done some work there too.
Nice. And your producer is Mike Crossey?
We've actually been working with Jakir King.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then how did the song No Good, how did that get picked up for the vinyl soundtrack?
Beats me, really.
You guys Atlantic did their job.
Yeah,
you
I guess
know
so.
What, though? Surprisingly, so. Scorsese not surprisingly, he's a huge music fan.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's a blues man, right?
Yeah, he's a blues guy, yeah. And it's if you're not familiar with the series, it's Mick Jagger produced and Scorsese directed the pilot, but it takes place in the music industry in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And it fits so perfectly. But otherwise, the deal just happened, and you guys were only happy that it happened. But no input otherwise.
Not really. I mean, I got a phone call like, okay, you have 3 days to finish this song because Mick Jagger and Scorsese want it for this TV show.
You know,
I hadn't cut the vocals and stuff, so I had to just stay in Pittsburgh, jump into a studio there, and finish it up. So, yeah, it was a pleasant surprise.
It's huge. That's awesome.
I want to ask you, because we have a friend, Bam Margera, who lives in this area, and he goes to Iceland all the time.
His wedding, man.
Did you?
Really? Yeah.
Which wedding? Because we were at his wedding.
Yeah, which wedding?
His second wedding.
Yeah, because Iggy Pop and the Stooges played the first wedding, and we were at that one. I'm like, I would have remembered these guys. Well, they would have been 10 years old.
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so you guys played it?
They had the wedding in Iceland?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that you wouldn't have gotten invited to that one. You got invited to the local one.
I would have gone to that one.
Yeah, of course.
I've never been to Iceland.
I wonder if Bam will go to the show. I mean, I don't know if he's in town right now, but yeah, but he lives here.
Yeah, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. He's in Iceland a lot, though.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. All right, well, let's get one more song from you guys.
Absolutely. Way Down We Go.
Way Down We Go. Yeah. This is Kaleo on 93.3 WMMR.
Oh, Father, tell me, do we get what we deserve? Oh, we get what we deserve. And way down we go, 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 go. And way down we go, 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 go. Say way down we go, way down we go. Oh, you let your feet run wild. Thomas, we all go down. Yeah, but for the fall, my, do you dare to look them right in the eyes? Yeah. Oh, good say we've run you down, down to the dark. Yeah, someday we'll run you down, down to you fall.
WMMR. I have a lot of people, you know, this is brand new to them. They haven't heard any of this music, asking, how do you spell the name of the band? It's K-A-L-E-O. People are searching online right now trying to find you. They can't figure it out. K-A-L-E-O. What is, what's the origin of that name, if you don't mind?
Hawaiian. Thank you very much.
No kidding.
kidding. No kidding. Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's the sound or the voice in Hawaii.
The sound or the voice.
Yeah. That's really funny.
you almost got it, Casey. Yeah.
You got to play Hawaii now, right?
I hope so, man. That's right? One of the reasons now. Yeah.
So right now, I'm buying all your songs song by song. When is the album out? And are both of those songs going to be on it?
Right, yes. It should be out hopefully June, July. That's kind of what we're shooting for.
Okay.
So very excited about
that. Then we assume a tour in support of that, yes?
I'm sorry?
A tour in support of that when you come out with it, right?
Yeah.
But I got to point out not only JJ's soulful sounding voice, you also have some interesting instrumentation as well on top of that. You're playing a dobro, which has kind of a bluesy roots to it.
Yeah, I just bought this one, man. It's pretty nice.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then you've got Ruben over here who's playing an acoustic guitar. The guitar solo you heard there was on an acoustic guitar, but you've got a pickup on it that you've put some distortion on.
Oh, playing through a tiny little orange amp over here.
Okay.
Ah, distorted sound.
Which really gives it it sounds like an electric guitar with, you know, it sounds like you're playing a Les Paul or something like that.
Yeah,
is this really what you recorded on?
Not exactly this model, but another acoustic through an amp.
Okay. And then Daniel's playing classic Paul McCartney Hofner bass, which is pretty odd. Have you always had that? I know you don't have a microphone over there, but...
Did you
make some money first and then you went and got that?
There you go. Nice.
And then David's banging on the cajon back there, which is cool. I assume you play a drum kit live, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
We usually play more electric guitars as well on stage, but yeah.
But honing that sound, whatever effects you're using, you know, kind of that slapback echo and a few other things, was that all you guys? You came up with that? This is the way that we like the band to sound?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we do like to spend time on the sound and the guitar sound especially and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because it's very unique, you know?
Oh,
I mean,
great.
And did you model that in after any other groups, or is it just kind of fell in
that way? Yeah, I think you kind of experiment enough, right?
Yeah,
it does help, you know, having good people around you, like in the studio and stuff to work with. But I think all in all, it's something that you kind of find yourself. Yeah.
Okay.
And when you guys perform tonight, I know that you guys have done some performances with some string background. Is it just going to be you guys, or are you going to have a violin and stuff there? Or?
Not this time. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully next time when we're getting bigger, you know. that costs money too, but
it does. Yes. Yeah.
Is it tonight or tomorrow night?
No, it's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Thank you. I love your sound, guys. I really
thank
do.
You
it's
guys
beautiful.
So much,
you know, my kids love it. You know, it's not kids' music, but you know, I've been playing it in my car a lot, so I appreciate you guys coming in this morning.
Same here, man. Thank you so much for having us.
Are you guys staying here tonight, and then you're staying over there?
Yep.
You know what you're going to do while you're in town, or?
Have a drink.
All right. Fair enough.
Visit our Hawaii museum. Yeah. It's very impressive.
Oh, you know what? Roy's isn't around anymore, the Hawaiian restaurant.
Oh, there you go.
But you know, you want to talk to Marissa if you guys want to get an idea of like where to go. And,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she knows what's up.
It's a shame you're not a good-looking guy and probably won't meet any women while you're here. Unbelievable.
No talent to back it up.
Yeah, no talent to back it up.
And they're young, too.
I feel like 18.
Yeah.
We can find some bars that'll let you in, probably. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Enjoy your time in Philadelphia. Good
thank
luck with everything.
So much.
We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Kaleo, guys.
Yeah.
Listen this Friday as 93.3 WMMR debuts the most anticipated rock album in years, Fear Inoculum. Fear Inoculum follows the multi-platinum Grammy Award-winning run of success of Undertow, Anima, Ladder Alice, and 10,000 Days, bringing you the brand new album from Tool this Friday on 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Kathy, this is for you.
Okay.
Why people hate the word moist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I saw it. People were posting it to my Twitter.
Yes. There's something about the word moist. It not only grosses Kathy out, but apparently a lot of people don't like that word in particular.
Ton of people.
It doesn't bother me.
No.
In fact, when I refer to the cat food that we get as opposed to the dry food, I call it the moist food.
Oh,
was it ever a consideration as a baby name?
Moist?
Yeah.
No.
Moist
no.
Elliot?
No,
Moist Elliot.
I didn't think we wanted to name,
you know,
Caroline or either of the boys Moist.
My son Carter and Moist.
Yeah.
Our dog food is called Moist and Meaty. Is that even grosser, Kathy?
Yeah, even grosser, probably.
Moist and meaty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Constantly moist.
I mean, I know that there are some foods that are better if they're moist, but it just sounds so yucky
like
to me.
Like a cake is best when it's moist.
It is, but...
I'm taking off my pants right now.
Yeah, it's but that's the reason. Moist it seems dirty.
Yes. All right, so is that, when you break it down, what is the actual reasoning behind why so many people bristle at the word moist?
Researchers from Oberlin College in Ohio decided to get down to the bottom of this mystery, and they have more than 2,400 people complete questionnaires. The data shows that 18% of people had an aversion to the word moist.
That's a lot.
That's a large amount.
Yeah.
The study leader and psychologist, Dr. Paul Thibodeau, writes that the person most likely to dislike the word is a young, neurotic female.
Oh, man. Home run.
Oh, my God. It gets better. Because I didn't
take
read this
your
either.
Run around the bases.
Listen to this. Young, neurotic female who is well-educated and somewhat disgusted by bodily function.
I think we have a winner.
We have a winner.
Do you have your Jeopardy bell?
Oh, my God.
Look, I'm glad I'm not the only one. That's all I'm saying.
That is awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
He added that people who identified as categorically averse to moist also found words like phlegm and vomit more averse than people who didn't have a strong unpleasant reaction to moist.
I'm going to guess, now don't answer, I'm going to say that those words aren't that bad for you.
I agree with you,
phlegm and
Steve.
Vomit, I think you can handle a lot better than moist. Would I be correct?
Yes. Huh. If you want me to go in order, moist, phlegm, and then vomit.
Wow, really? Phlegm over vomit.
Yes.
Phlegm is more disgusting than vomit.
I'll tell you why, because... You got to get that back of the throat. Whereas phlegm. Vomit is a lot more arch. Vomit.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Phlegm almost makes you do what it is.
Of the word moist, is it the oi or the st that does it?
I don't know. I don't know.
What about clams?
So it says here that it's thought that people associate the word with bodily functions and sex, thus contaminating the word.
Do you remember we had our former PD, Jim McGuinn, great guy, great PD, but he had the word, there was the song, Hemorrhage in My Hands.
Yeah.
And he hated that word.
Hemorrhage.
Hemorrhage.
He thought people automatically menstrual. Would think of menstrual.
Yes.
Menstrual in my hands.
Would
I
be a different
that,
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to call that, what did we have to call that song? In My Hands.
In My Hands.
Because hemorrhage was like in parentheses or something, but it was part of the title. Yeah.
Well, that's neurotic.
I know.
I mean, it
was a little paranoid, too.
Yeah.
People might be offended by that word.
Periods. And think yucky time.
Periods.
No.
And hair and mucus and...
pee-pee.
Yeah.
Caca. I don't like caca.
I think he's the only one that thought of that.
He was! And when someone protests in a manner that like that, it gives you sort of a Rorschach peek into what's going on in your mind.
Yeah. Kathy, somebody wants to know about this word because I think it has a similar feel to moist. Succulent.
Ooh. No.
No?
That doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But you said mucus. That bothers me.
Mucus bothers you.
All right.
Okay.
Mucus, vomit, phlegm.
I think mucus and phlegm are kind of tied for second.
Of all the things that you were actually, if you were in proximity to them in a real world situation.
Oh, forget it. I'd be out of there.
So phlegm, mucus, or vomit. And phlegm and mucus are the same.
Yeah.
Now we're getting just a flood of texts of names to try out on you.
All right. I'll just say yes or no.
All right. Pus.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gross.
Okay. Discharge.
Yeah.
Schmegma.
No.
Schmegma.
That doesn't bother you?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Do you say schmegma or schmegma?
Schmegma.
You got to say it right. You got to say schmegma.
I said schmegma.
Schmegma.
Okay. But pus is disgusting. Discharge is gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there's so many clips I could play.
What is pus, by the way?
Pus? Is your body reacting, right?
It's a collection of white blood cells, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I do not know.
I thought it was an infection.
Now, here's some more words. Now, we know that panties bothers you, right?
Panties
bothers a lot of women, actually.
Yeah. I love that word. I really do.
It's nice. It's frilly.
Don't we have a lot of panties clips?
They're comfortable.
We do. I can find them.
Not wearing panties.
I'm not wearing. Who do you want?
This is very erotic.
I have no underwear on.
Oh, that's, Lou, our engineer.
I love freckles.
Lou, are this most just disarming, genuine, nice, middle American guy. And we found out towards the end of his run here at Greater Media that he would read and write erotic poetry.
Yeah, and would do it on stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have any panties on.
All right, here you go, Case. Here's the definition of pus. A protein-rich fluid called liquor purus, usually whitish yellow, yellow or yellow-brown in color.
Oh, God.
Pus consists of a buildup of dead leukocytes, which are white blood cells, Nick, very good, from the body's immune system in response to infection.
All right.
So it's just a glob of dead white blood cells.
So it's basically a discharge of moist phlegm.
That's it.
You know what's so funny is I
you want to kill me today.
I had a really bad ingrown toenail a month ago or something.
I was just about to take a sip of my coffee.
Well, you know, you might want to eat something like yogurt as I talk about this.
Lime yogurt.
But there was a collection of pus at the base of my toenail. So I thought that there was that it was like some sort of fungus or something. I was like, oh man, I got. But as it turns out, it was just an ingrown toenail. But the weird thing is that the nurse practitioner or whatever that works at my foot doctor, she couldn't wait to watch it, like watch him
lance it
and. It was. I was like, "You're weird." You know, like you're.
There are people that love it. It's a. I don't want to say a fetish, but it is. It's something that people get enjoyment out of watching. We all know Marissa likes to pop people's.
She does. Zits. Like she loves to chew them off.
What
is zits pus?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I guess a subcutaneous buildup of pus.
I'll tell you what. It was wild watching him cut open and fix my ingrown toenail because he, you know.
I couldn't believe you watched that.
I watched it because he put the Novocaine in there so I couldn't feel anything.
Okay.
And it was brutal to watch. I'm watching it, and I'm like, this looks like it hurts really bad.
I will tell you what's bizarrely interesting to see and to feel when you have that sort of buildup and you lance it yourself, and the pressure immediately diminishes as
the
you
relief.
Have your, it is almost like a toe orgasm.
I know what you said.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, because the
there's relief.
Yeah, there's relief.
You had pressure and pain.
Yeah,
and then it's gone. But
I can't do this topic.
It looks like it would hurt.
Nick is about to vomit.
I'm serious.
You might want to sit down.
This is going to make me throw up.
All right, let me.
You look like you're lightheaded.
I can't like the pus and the explosion of that kind of Casey's toe story. I'm losing it.
Somebody texted in the word creamery. They don't like that.
Really?
Like Cold Stone Creamery?
Yeah.
No.
It's hard to say.
I would think of something.
Yes.
That's yummy.
You would think of something. Oh, you would think of something sexual?
No.
Okay.
I would think of like ice cream or.
Yeah.
Something, half and half.
Something moist.
Know. Yeah. No, not moist. No.
Flemish.
The word cream is not used in that.
Cream your jeans
context
used to be.
Any longer. Yeah. Or like in Grease Lightning, the chicks will cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grease Lightning.
Wasn't there a magazine called Cream?
There was.
It was a rock magazine.
Oh, I thought it was a dirty magazine.
No.
No, you're thinking about Beaver.
If, always.
Creamy Beaver is what his name is. It was for the dairy and porn aficionado.
No, well, Cream was a...
Lester Bangs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
It was like...
Circus.
Similar to...
Circus, right?
And Rolling Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a rock magazine.
Cream was considered a bit more harder focused on the musician as opposed to, you know, just the general rock scene. Mm.
So anyhow, yes, the word moist is disliked by a lot of people, and I just love the fact that it's a profile of Kathy.
Young, except for the young part.
Young, neurotic.
Constantly moist.
Young, neurotic female who is well-educated and somewhat disgusted by bodily function.
Pretty much. Wraps it all up.
Yeah. That's
they nailed that one, though. It's seldom that they get it that right.
Yeah. Can you go to line two for Nick, please?
I could go home right now.
You want to keep going on these?
No, I was just kidding.
Now you have to.
No, you don't have to.
We'll go to Alex. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Hey, what's the word?
Yeah, it's right here.
Bird's the word. Bird's the word.
That was awesome.
It's just for you, too. Now, you have a horrible story to tell us.
Yes, so I had a pus. I had a boil, and it was like under my armpit. I had to go to ER to drain it. It was like the size of a ping pong. And when the nurse shot a needle in it,
that's it.
And it shot pus all across the room. It was the most disgusting thing ever. Exactly.
What was the consistency of this?
Stop!
Was it like moist phlegm?
It was moist pus flying all over.
Oh my god!
Wow.
Thank you, Alex.
Verbally, there's not anything really that can send me into
No,
disgust.
I'm surprised.
The one thing that does it for me is snot.
But I thought that's why I thought phlegm might throw you off a little bit.
No? Yeah. There are also words that not necessarily disgust you, but that you just don't like. For one reason or another, it's not like, you know, you have an aversion, you say it and you're going to have a seizure or anything
right.
like that. But I had a text here from somebody who said they've never liked the word booklet. Booklet.
That's really
and
funny.
That's random, but I'm sure that to that person, I'm sure that's accurate.
Just whatever it is.
Booklet.
Just something about that word. I'll read this little booklet.
What did you say? Booklet?
You cleaning woman!
Cleaning woman! Cleaning woman!
What is
that? You remember it's from the Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid?
Oh.
And for some reason, if anybody would say the words cleaning woman, well, Steve Martin would go crazy and he would start choking you.
His dad left with the cleaning woman.
The cleaning woman.
And so forth. Cleaning woman! Do you remember the Abbott and Costello routine, the Susquehanna Hat Company?
Yes.
Susquehanna Hat! Yeah.
For some reason, it would send him into a tizzy. Let me go to, I have a few other books, or booklets, that people don't like. Let me go to Ashley. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up, Ashley?
So, my friend is kind of like Kathy, where she hates a lot of words, and we made a sentence that has all of them in it.
Oh, God.
Okay.
It's, naughty lovers lather while wearing moist panties.
Ah. Naughty lovers do what?
Lather.
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 Mm-hmm.
Okay, so lather is a word that bothers you as well.
Naughty.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Nice. And no reason. You just don't like it.
Yeah, no. She just doesn't like it. So okay. We just compiled all of them into one sentence.
I find people tend to not like words they have difficulty pronouncing.
Okay.
You know, they veer from those words. But I don't, there are no words that I've ever encountered that I simply don't like just randomly.
Here, there's somebody says they don't like, and I can't say it on the air because, and God only knows why, because it's an anatomically correct scientific name. But Kathy, the scientific name for the man in the boat starts with a C.
Yeah.
Is that
Dolores.
Word bother you?
Yeah. Yes, totally.
Okay.
The Dolores.
See, I could see that bothering you.
But yeah. Really that, well,
yeah,
because I know why. That, but not the sound of the word, all that it implies.
It's just yucky.
I think it's funny.
Like,
I think it's a funny name.
If somebody says it, like, I'd be like, oh.
why can you not say that, but you can say vulva?
I don't know.
Vulva?
It's a Bill thing.
It's
you can even say labia.
It's a G thing.
Yeah, it's a G thing. You can say labia.
You can?
Yes.
We just did.
You'll say it again.
Steve says it from time to time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's where my parents hail from.
From labia?
It's outside of Czechoslovakia.
Oh, I didn't know you were part labia.
Oh, yeah. I'm like 80% labia.
Let's see here. A couple other words. Somebody says they hate the word horny.
Horny isn't, you don't, there's almost, we were talking about the word suck and sucks, you know, when you were years ago, when you would hear that word, and I think it started to hit its stride when I was in elementary school. So you're going back to like 1930.
Yeah.
So that was in reference to the sexual act.
Yeah,
it was a bad word.
Right. So there I was. I was in the rumble seat of my bus.
My dad would actually use the word sucks. He would quote me when he would say it. If he were upset with like the retail person or somebody that he was getting mad at and he had a confrontation, he would say, and this is when I was a kid. I was like, you know, middle school. My dad would go, well, as my son would say, that sucks.
Really?
He would quote me as he would say it. I'm like, right on, Dad.
All right,
thank you.
My son says moist phlegm.
Yeah.
You know what? Another one would be scum.
Yes.
Scum and scumbag.
Bag.
Yes. Which had was in a correlation to.
It's a male sexual fluid.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Is scum.
It's a condom, right?
Where that comes from.
Right.
A scum bucket.
Yeah.
Wasn't a scumbag?
Scumbag.
Was it used condom?
I guess so.
That's basically. Heard, yeah. And now it really just suggests someone who's less than wonderful.
Yeah. A couple other words people have texted in. Ointment.
Yeah, it's the oint part of it.
Oint.
Yeah, well, like which moist, would hold for moist.
A moist ointment.
Oi and moi.
I mean, yeah, that's gross.
Somebody says they don't like the word scrum. That never bothered me. That means a fight or a little, or it's part of the, it's
a brawl, right?
Rugby.
Yeah.
The first part is the scrum.
I don't like the word rugby.
You don't like the word rugby? I'm just making that up. Flesh, as somebody else said.
Yeah.
Really?
A little bit.
Flesh makes me think, I seldom think of it in a zombie way or a flesh-eating disease. I think of it in a more sins of the flesh.
Yeah.
How about queef?
Queef, I think, has a very lyrical sound to it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody said they don't like lunch pail.
When was the last time used lunch? Is lunch pail even something that...
I think if you have a lunch pail, there has to be a thermos inside.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it came. Like, yeah. That's how it was made.
But our lunch boxes had thermoses inside. And that, you remember, at the beginning of... I don't know if this is the case anymore, but that was a big thing. The selection of your school year lunch box and what would be on it.
I always kind of hated the word thermos.
Yeah?
Yeah. I never realized that until now.
Would you ever have hot liquid in your thermos?
Yes.
I never did.
Yeah, I don't remember. Chicken noodle soup.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And would it stay hot from the time you left the house to lunch?
Man, whoever invented that thing was a genius.
Somebody says, how about slurp or lubed?
Slurp.
I don't like either because slurp reminds me of like Nick eating something.
Oh, I thought you were going to say oral.
No. Oh. No. Just food and you.
Okay.
And lubed because it reminds you of Nick.
Right.
Yeah. Slurp. Hang on, let me go to Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Listen, you a-holes, drop the ranch dressing. Drop it!
I knew
well
where he
done,
was going.
Jim.
That's great.
Well done. What's up, man?
Thank you. All right, so I would like to nominate the word fetus. I think it's awful that we call things in the womb. Why can't we just call them cell babies or something like that?
Cell babies.
You know, fetus. It's just disgusting. Horrible word. Fetus.
It's funny.
It's a growing baby.
Yeah, but to him it means it just is, it's unpleasant. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Jim doesn't like the word fetus.
Yeah.
It's a huffle. Listen, Nick, if you really want to, ruin your lunch later, go on reddit.com subreddit called Popping. It's all the disgusting pimples and ingrown toes that you can handle.
I'll definitely do that.
It's called topping?
Popping.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, there's also a website just called popthatsit.com.
Oh, which is, it will kill you.
We were at the Camp Out for Hunger, and I've had them bring it up on the big screens to show you guys.
The words don't bother me. The video footage of it does. I can't watch that stuff.
But that's completely understandable. There are some people that just the actual sound of the word.
Yeah.
I'm loving some of these texts coming in. Okay, so here's some words. Let me try these out. Leakage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like this one. Fresh meats and cheeses.
Fresh? No.
No, that doesn't bother me.
No, that's good.
But it bothers somebody.
Fresh meats and cheeses.
Somebody hates the word dollop.
Okay.
When you think of dollop, what do you think of?
Sour cream.
That's what's been dolloped, right?
Yeah, immediately that's what I think of.
Sour cream.
Somebody hates crotch.
Crotch rot. Crotch rot is something to hate.
You think of rotten crotch.
Old rotten crotch.
Old rotten crotch. Let me go to Mark. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening, Mark?
Slime. Slime from a slug.
Slime from a slug. When you hear slime, that's the way you think of it, a slug's trail.
Right. I don't know if you ever touched a slug, but that stuff is next to impossible to get off your hand.
Yeah. Ew. I tried to avoid slime from a slug.
Well, slugs are attracted to beer. Like, you're supposed to use a shallow pan full of beer, and they will climb in there because they're attracted to the beer, and they would drown. Well, a couple summers ago, it was a hot August night, and I was sitting outside with my buddies getting pretty drunk, and it was dark. Ugh. I picked up my can of beer, and the slug was right there, and I got it on my lip.
No! That's like having a huge zit pop pus all over the room.
Oh, yes, man, it was horrible.
Dude, that is...
thanks, man.
That's a horrific story.
Here are a few others. I'm following the text as well as taking these calls, but...
it's a peek into someone's mental situation.
Yes, like fresh meats and cheeses.
I hate that. Fresh meat. What did you say?
Bung is one that people, that somebody didn't
we
like.
We assume that connects to hole, right?
Bung, yeah. Hole, yeah.
That's all right.
You know what? And in fact...
What is technically, is the derivation of bung?
When I went to, years ago, I went and took a tour of the Yingling Brewery.
Right.
I took a private tour, actually. And went down, and they have these caves where they keep the kegs to keep them cold. And at the time, they were still manually putting a cork in the keg, okay? So there's a hole in it. They actually take a sledgehammer, boom, and they pop it on there, and they seal it that way. Well, the thing that they stick in the hole is called a bung.
Yeah. Is it really? That's where it comes from.
I don't know if that's where it comes from, the name of that.
That's the definition. A piece of wood or rubber that is used to close or cover a hole in a barrel.
There you
go. Well, it's certainly changed in meaning over the years.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Because you put the bung in the bung hole.
Yeah, look at this in Wikipedia. See also bung hole.
And there it is, and it comes up. It's a barrel.
So the actual cork or seal is called the bung.
Yes, uh-huh. And the bung hole is the hole in which the cork goes.
Yes, the hole in which the bung goes
right.
Is the bung hole.
The bung hole.
Yes.
Then what? What about cornhole?
Cornhole.
I assume that comes from the fact that it doesn't digest.
Well, let's look it up.
And it comes out that way.
That's possible.
So that would be your cornhole.
Your cornhole.
That's what I. That's me putting two and two together, but I don't know if that's...
You're CSIing that sucker.
I have no idea. Nick, did you actually find the word cornhole?
Yeah, well, this reference is all to the game, the beanbag.
The game cornhole,
Yeah.
Nick found this on Wikipedia, which, by the way, let me bring this up. It's a total subset, and I'll go back to these, but it's a cool video series that my son found on YouTube and that I've started playing on my own. You take two completely unrelated words or names... And you try to chain them together via Wikipedia, only using links on each page. So let's say you started with bunghole, and you wanted to get to name anything randomly.
T-shirt,
felt tip pin,
okay.
Pen or something like that. And you click only on links that you find on bunghole that will take you for. You can't go backwards. You can't hit the back button.
You have to stay within Wikipedia, or can you use any website?
You can't use external links. It has to stay within Wikipedia.
And did you do it?
I've done it a couple times.
What was the quickest?
The quickest was I went from, what did I do? I went from pretzel to, I've forgotten, three wood.
Yeah. From pretzel
or
to three wood.
Or fairway wood or something.
And
how many
how many clicks?
Like five.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I went, I can't remember. Oh, bubblegum to Grand Central Station. And that's actually was the shortest one I did.
That's all right.
And then I sent one to Nick and Casey. I said, Large Hadron Collider and clam juice.
And I tried so hard.
I did it.
Yeah.
I sent you my chain.
I know. I gave up after a while because I could have sworn once I got to the Mott's, because Mott's makes the clam juice.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that once I got to the Mott's page, I'd find clam juice.
It's kind of fun. Try playing it on your own. Okay. So anyway, back to this because Nick was pulling up Wikipedia and made me think of that. Some people, how about the word sopping?
Sopping wet, think of. Now, you see, moist and sopping are two different things. Obviously, sopping is you're drenched and moist is...
Yep.
You know,
totally soaked.
Yeah, you're aroused beyond all reason.
Secretion.
Yeah,
that's a word I knew she wasn't going to like. Yeah. Secretion.
Here's a funny word. I find it funny is bush. I just think it's funny.
Yeah. You can't help it. Yeah. It just because it has almost a nostalgic connotation right now.
I used to have a shirt. It was a winter bush. I love that shirt.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to it.
That was pretty funny.
It was a
I
good
remember
one.
That. All right. Anyhow, listen, I know we got a bunch of calls and a bunch of texts. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But there are a good amount of people who don't like the word moist. And Kathy, we've known for years she hates that word moist. But they did a study and the study leader found that the person most likely to dislike the word is a young, neurotic female who is well educated and somewhat disgusted by bodily function.
Boom!
That is
kabooyah!
Absolutely.
Hey guys, with Halloween coming up, it's time to get spooky. We have a chance for you to win a pair of passes as Preston and Steve present It Chapter 2 before anyone else.
It's next Wednesday, September 4th at the UA Riverview at 6:30 p.m.
All you need to do is email us at podcast@wmmr.com with your name, age, and phone number. The winners will be notified via email.
The screening's next week, so make sure you get your emails in now. And remember, when you podcast with us, you'll float too.
You'll float too. You'll float too.
All right, so our guests are here. We are happy to welcome them to our studio. In fact, we have a special hottie cam going on with our girls and kittens this morning. The movie is opening April 29th. It's called Keanu. Please welcome to our show Jordan Peele and Method Man.
Yay. Thank you.
Gentlemen, welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. This is the new duo. We're going to do Meth and Peele.
Oh, the new version. Yeah. I think that should work well.
Because Key and Red are doing their own thing. Yeah, Key and Red Man are out there, but I think we're going a little bit better.
You think you guys have struck up a good chemistry?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Basically, I talk and sound like an idiot, and he mean mugs, and then the fans run away.
He just mean mugs. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, the movie is hilarious. There you go. The movie's Keanu, and it is a parody, I guess, of John Wick, correct?
You know, it's funny. We wrote this movie before John Wick came out.
Really?
I kid you not. Yeah. No, when John Wick came out, and all of a sudden you have actual Keanu Reeves in a plot, in an action plot where he's saving an animal, I was like, I'm done. We're done. This is either too good.
Never seen the light of day, right?
Yeah. It's too good or too bad, right? But, it worked out. And so, yeah, if you're a John Wick fan, absolutely.
I absolutely am. Yeah, love the movie and love the concept.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
And it's actually it's familiar territory for you because you have you wrote it, Jordan, is correct?
That's right. I co-wrote it with a guy, Alex Rubens.
And your director is the director of all the Key and Peele episodes.
Peter Tencio. He's an amazing director. And the amazing thing about him is he doesn't just direct comedy. He brings comedy to this other genre, this heightened genre.
Yeah.
And this movie, it's like if you took all the hijinks and the silly stuff out of it, it would be like, this amazing, gangland film.
It's howlingly hilarious to watch in what are John Woo level action sequences, a kitten running from in the center in the shootout. It's pretty wild.
He did all his own stunts.
Oh, the kitten was no kitten stuntman.
No kitten stuntman. Actually, there were about six.
Yeah, about six guys. Well, they all had K names too. Katrina.
It's true.
No, it's true. Seriously.
So kittens tend to grow pretty quickly. Did you have an issue with the kitten at the beginning? Did you have to use this? Did you were able to use the same kitten?
We had to trade out kittens in the middle of the movie.
Yeah,
but we had to do that with some of the extras as well.
Did you spend the most amount of time with the kitten?
They didn't give me too many scenes with the kitten. I was strictly there for intimidation. Like now.
Okay. Because your character ends up taking the cat. I mean,
yeah, pretty much
in the movie. I didn't know if that was like your sidekick.
It's something
the
about the cat, though. You know, it's something that I don't know. It's like something about Mary, I guess. You know, it gets like that when you deal with pussies.
Yeah,
you know? Same sort of deal. Same sort of deal.
No, there's nothing better than seeing Method Man with a kitten. I mean, it's just I'm sorry. It's every time he's on screen, we're like, just can we get more? Can we get more of this shot?
Yeah. Well, with a kitten and a do-rag, too.
We got that kitten in the do-rag.
Yeah, I felt that was a bit much. But,
you know, we have to, if you have a kitten, you got to dress it, right?
Yeah.
And
Well, it's, you guys are, you and Key are you're very much suburbanites. You're not really accustomed or familiar with the gang world, and yet you get drawn into the lower regions of the real heavy duty mob scene.
That's right. We're hip hop fans, but we would never we would never be able to actually do anything in any way remotely cool.
Right.
So that's where Cliff comes in as far as marketing is concerned, because you know all the people like, and no, I don't like them Key and Peele. I'm like, oh snap, Met's in it. Okay.
That's where he comes in. You get cred that way.
So we get cred.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. And how do you like as far as acting? Since you are playing the heavy in the movie, is it something that you take to naturally? Because I know I've been reading interviews with you, and you're saying you're starting to really put a little bit more emphasis on your acting, and you're enjoying it and finding it much more fulfilling.
Don't believe everything you read.
Don't believe everything you read?
No, yeah. I'm kidding. No.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a great second act for me.
Yeah?
You know, 20 years in the music game. And I feel like, yeah, this is something I can get with. I mean, if I could work with Key and Peele all the time, it'd be easy.
Yeah, yeah.
We have fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what your show is? Key and Peele itself always had a very cinematic quality to it.
Yeah.
And it was always, there were a number of skits that you did that I always thought, well, this could easily transition to a full movie. But
here you go. Yeah, with that, and Peter Atencio, the director in question, he did a vast majority of our sketches.
Yeah,
And
we hear, and I don't know if this is true, because as you pointed out, you can't believe everything you read, but you're working on a project with Judd Apatow now, is that correct?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, we got a couple projects. Judd is an amazing collaborator, and we've started kicking around some ideas, and... That's dope.
Once you have a movie that the onus now is on you guys because you're the banner names on it and you've created the whole thing, I know that creates a little bit of extra tension for you, but do you start ending up on the radar of other people because of that? I mean, does the influx of inquiries begin?
I mean, we would not have be here right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very cool, and people have been responding to the trailer, which is great.
hilarious.
That's a good start.
That's a good start.
And we hear that people are always telling us oh, I watched the trailer like 10 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's exciting, man. I think if you like the trailer, you're gonna love the movie.
Excellent.
Yeah, the scenes with the kitten are amazing. We got some amazing actors. Jason Mitchell is in it.
Tiffany Haddish,
Jamar Neighbors, Daryl yeah. Brett Gibson.
Luis Guzman.
Hey, papa. What's up, papa? Hey, papi. I'm going to shoot the scene today or what, papa?
Cliff does a spot on guy. Guzman.
Oh, that's cool.
We got Will Forte in there. It's an all-star cast. Everybody just knocks it apart. Neil Long is in there.
Oh, I mean, right.
Miss
nice.
Neil Long. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love movies like this that cross basically every demographic line that there is. Because I showed the trailer to my parents, who are late 60s white people, and then they're going to go see the movie, and then, like, a 12-year-old black girl is going to go see it as well, too. And that's everybody's right. going to find it funny. And I just...
you put old people and 12-year-old black girl in the stage.
Don't put them in the theater together. That's the only thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a problem. Yeah,
it's going to be a problem. Isn't that the goal for America at this
that's
point?
It.
You know,
yeah.
to bring my parents and a 12-year-old black girl together?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. No, and that's what we love to do that with the show as well. We're always saying, like, look, if we can get... it's cool to get, one group of people. If we can get everybody with one sketch, that's the holy grail. Mm. I think this is, we did that.
Well, you are such a good writer, though, Jordan, and you guys, your stuff is so sharp. So you write, you direct, you do the comedic acting, is it hard for you sometimes to detach from elements? Because I know you were talking about the trailer for the movie.
Yeah.
In other words, I assume you're not the one who cuts the trailer, obviously, but do you find it hard to not be involved in every aspect of something that is your creation?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of how Keegan and I and Peter have been able to work is just highly collaborative.
And you trust them. Mm-hmm.
Total trust. Yeah, yeah. You got to trust the people you're working with.
Yeah. Right.
So I wouldn't bring any 12-year-old girl to this movie. It's rated R. It's got a lot of sex and violence and language and drug use and all that sort of stuff in it. But, so you're writing this movie. When you're writing for Comedy Central, you're a little bit more restrictive. So was this a nice sort of environment for you to just throw everything out there?
You know what? This is Comedy Central, we're not very restricted on that. A little bit.
I mean, not very, but...
But there's some bleeps. There's some bleeps on Comedy Central. We got to take away the bleeps. But the real thing we got to do with this movie, first of all, is I got to work with Method Man.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of like cool for me. But we got to tell a story. We got to tell a story that's like hour 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's just so different than doing a sketch where you just go boom 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 and you get a big laugh and then you're out.
Your sketches though, and some of them you're like I want this not to turn into a church lady, where you have to do it like, every other episode or whatever, but, the substitute teacher.
Yeah.
The pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all of these sketches that you do are so great. And I found you through YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was one of those deals where, my neighbors tell me about the bitch skit.
And I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. And then when you guys had done the college players' names, it was so great. So, you know, do you want to revisit any of those sketches?
Yeah, you know, we might do that. We might revisit those some point, you know, but it's very fun to create something new.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're kind of with you. It's like we don't want to just hit the same note. We don't want to tire something out. We want to always be doing new things.
Yeah.
Always be pushing it. And
it's kind of like a musician, you know, like you can't put out the same song twice, you know, and a lot of times when, you know, if this comedy hits, people are going to be asking for a Keanu too. And it's going to be the same beats and the same jokes is what they're going to want. But you can't do that. And Matthew, you can't do that as a musician either.
Yeah, you can.
Can you?
No, reggae artists have been remaking people's songs for years. Just straight up. I heard a Justin Bieber song in reggae not too long ago.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm lying, but...
I believed it. Yeah. I believed it.
They do songs over all the time, man. Rolling Stones has been doing it for years. I mean, people, hey... I mean, even the song, what's that, The Lion Sleeps Tonight?
Yeah.
In the jungle, the lion in the jungle. Yeah, dude, so gave it to a friend, and, you know, everybody's had that song.
Yeah, but how do you stay fresh? Because, listen, for instance, I love Mariah Carey, right?
Right.
But at a certain
You're not
point,
kidding.
I'm not kidding. I love her.
She's cool.
At a certain point, I couldn't listen to her anymore because I feel like she's already done it, and I don't want to listen to the same songs over again. I feel like Adele is reaching that point.
They have a formula that they keep following. But you know what? I think that has a lot to do with the people behind them, the Yes People and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, when you give an artist room to grow, they turn into a Jordan Peele where they start writing and directing and you know what I mean? And this
That's
is serious
beautiful.
Business. I'm dead serious. Like,
yeah,
you got, I mean, the music business is now, I wouldn't say, well, the audience is fickle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're give it to me now, you know. No, just give it to me now type of audience. And it's hard to keep up with what's going on now because, I mean, 1 second you're here, 1 second you're gone. It's these fast food artists now.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like you get them, you eat the food, and look, 10 minutes later you're hungry again for more. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't know if that answered the question. But
Answered for me. I got you, Jordan, you and Key were at the MTV Movie Awards.
Yes.
And that was Saturday night, so you must have been going great guns. Obviously, that was out in, what was it, Universal, or where was it?
Yeah, we were out in Warner Brothers Studios.
Warner Brothers, yeah. I watched that movie awards show, and it occurs to me it's just a... there's a lot going on there, you know?
It's a
big mofo, yeah, and it's there's a lot of ads, and they obviously you're able to promote the movie as well.
Yeah.
It seems to be more an award show to help promote other movies than, you know, because it seems to be that the people, everyone's been alerted to who won already. It seems that way. Do you have any insight on that? Because
we didn't win anything.
Yeah,
so
I know,
no one
yeah.
told me.
No one told you.
Like that. But yeah, you know, I mean, look, it's a that whole thing is a celebration of movies.
Yeah.
I'm glad they do it. Every year I'm into seeing what they're going to do.
Right.
They always make a spectacle. It's different from other award shows, but
you
have a point.
It's definitely from a perspective.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's not anything like the Academy.
Right, right.
It's from a fans boys perspective. So.
So what now the movie comes out and you know, I assume you're hard at work on your next project. It's weird because you'll do a movie and then by the time you get to promote it, you're already well into something else. What are you on now?
Well, I just directed a horror film.
Oh,
straight horror film.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Get Out. Thank you. My directorial debut. I'm very happy with it.
Big fan of the genre?
A big fan of the genre.
Oh, awesome.
I love horror.
Straight ahead horror.
Straight horror. Okay. I'm sure you could tell a lot of Key and Peele sketches go very dark.
Yes, they do.
Very fast.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not a comedy. You know, there's funny things in it. We got some.
Is it slasher horror?
It's not slasher horror. I can't tell you too much about it, but it is very scary.
You wrote it?
It's called Get Out. I wrote it.
Oh, awesome.
And, I'm editing it right now.
Get Out made me automatically think of Amityville Horror.
Yeah, a little reference there.
It made me think of Eddie Murphy, actually.
Me too.
Yeah, the Eddie Murphy
too
bit.
Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Well, you know, it is a movie that is a horror movie that's geared to the black horror audience.
Okay.
Who just doesn't want any... You know,
get out.
pick up the phone, man. Get out. Yeah. So it's an elevated horror film. It's not a comedy. I know it sounds like a comedy, but it should satisfy the audience member and all of us. It just wants people to do smart things.
There's an element to a lot of horror movies where you are just, it kills it for me when they are so astoundingly stupid.
Exactly.
In their reactions.
It will ruin a movie.
Give me a little bit and I'm in. But if they are staggeringly dumb, I can't watch it.
Exactly.
I don't like jump scares personally.
Yeah. And it's a cheap shot.
Jordan, I wanted to ask you about a skit that you did on Key and Peele that I think everybody with a cell phone should see, which is the misunderstood texts. You know, and you guys, you don't get subtlety when somebody's texting one person another. What was that born out of? Where does that go?
There's no nuance.
Well, no nuance.
That's born out of everyday life. I mean, it's, you know, I think it it happens in emails as well. Anything. Mm-hmm. It's the world. It's getting so impersonal, and there's so little. So little contact. Yeah. We're not even calling each other anymore.
Right.
So did you see this one? Did you see this sketch, man?
No, I don't watch TV.
It's good, though.
I got to show you. It's good. Basically, Keegan and I, you know, where he's texting me and he's like, hey, man, let's go to the bar. Where you been? And he's all positive. And then it's actually the opposite. I confuse Keegan and I sometimes. I even do it. I'm texting him that, and he's like, where have I been? I've been waiting for 2 hours. And so we kind of just miss. We just miss each other's whole tone.
The nuance is lost.
And what's great is you're saying it as you're texting it. So you can, you know, as the viewer, you can understand your reflection. So you're like, whatever. And then he reads it. Whatever.
That's right. Everybody. That's happened to everybody.
Totally.
And
I have to be careful because when I'm writing a text, I'm like, if I put a period here, it's going to sound really abrupt.
Yeah.
If I write no period, it's going to be like no.
How many exclamation points means
pissed?
Anything over three.
Everyone three, right? Yeah.
Jordan, I love about your style. Sometimes in the sketch stuff, you guys don't mind getting just weird. I mean, like this is probably going to go over people's heads, but I don't care. My son showed me one the other day called the Mexican Standoff, and that's where the
money.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some there are just moments where in your sketches it'll just be like, well, that was a left turn. That was bizarre.
Yeah.
And do you take that in consideration? You're just like, we're just going to get weird with this one, you know?
Oh, no. We like stand up and walk out of the room comedy.
Oh, okay.
That's where you hit something, dudes have to just, no, what? What? No, what? No, they did not. No. They went too far.
But I liked it. But you know what? And there's always someone out there who's watching us. That was for me. That's right. I got that. That was for me. That's actually... On our show, when someone says, I must have been the only one laughing, but I love hearing that too. Yeah.
And that's why, with a sketch show, you know, you can make sketches like that where you're like, oh, you know what? This is one group of people. One group of people is just going to love this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but of course, with the movie, it's like like we were talking about before, we got to get everybody to enjoy this together as a class. Mm-hmm. It's a collective experience.
Yeah. By the way, Keanu is opening theaters April 29th. I do have a question about something because Method, you play Cheddar, who's the head of the 17th Street Blips. Yeah. They were the people that got kicked out of the Bloods and the Crips.
That's right.
And the Blips. My question is, were they kicked out because they were too bad, or were they kicked out because they were idiots? And
I'm going to go with, according to the script, I think because they were incompetent.
Because they were incompetent.
Pretty much.
They probably wore plaid or something.
Right. You can't wear plaid. In the Bloods of the Crips.
Paisley, pretty much, yeah.
You guys are going to be out and about today for a little bit?
Yeah.
That's, I'm sure. That's man, you seem thrilled by.
Right? Yeah, that's why he's laughing.
I'm going to put kittens all over him. It's going to be hilarious.
I'm definitely cool. Put people on black. The publicists are scared of me, man. Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're kind of leery of me. Reason. I'm riding in the car by myself. He has everybody in his car. It's sad. It's pretty sad, man.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll put y'all on blast. Stand over there all you want.
That's the life of
And we're sitting in a room. People are sitting down in chairs all around the room. It's like one black guy. What's up, dude?
Holla,
we here for you. Black Lives Matter, baby. All right.
Brought him in for you.
We brought him in.
That's right.
Makes me feel comfortable.
You have the Mike Schmidt thing going on here.
Me? Carlos Ruiz.
No, not you. Him.
Oh, him.
He got the Mike Schmidt thing going on. You know, Mike.
Oh,
that's Mike.
Yeah.
Come on, that's Mike Schmidt.
I don't know.
I don't know too much about Phillies.
I had the Philly shirt on.
Yeah. Go Mets.
He is wearing a Mets hat this
morning. Intimidation, that's what I'm
looking for. Yankees hat, actually. Yeah. You guys going to say hi to your pictures, stuff like that? Or?
No.
No? No.
I'm playing.
we're going to put him in post.
Photoshop his ass in there.
We're just going to put our arms out. He's going to get in there.
The Method Man cut out.
Some Instagram app we're going to.
You know what I'm saying? I took a shower today. Of course I'm taking pictures.
All right. It's a special day.
I brushed my teeth today.
Of course, the movie's opening up on April 29th. Looks awesome. Looks
Thank
hilarious. You guys you hit it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in this morning. Yeah. Appreciate it. Jordan Peele, Method Man.
Yeah. Guys.
On the press of Steve Shield.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Hey, man. A man was arrested for failing to return a 2002 VHS rental movie, Freddy Got Fingered.
That's real.
It's true.
It is legitimate. James Myers actually showed a TV station the arrest warrant on Wednesday. It shows that Myers is charged with failure to return rental property, a misdemeanor punishable by up to a $200 fine. The rental store, J&J's Video, has since closed, but Myers was still given an April 27th court date for failing to return the gross-out comedy about a cartoonist returning home to live with his parents.
So why did the video store close, Preston? They just couldn't make it work?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Myers said he was driving his daughter to school Tuesday morning when an officer pulled him over because he had a taillight that was out. Myers said the officer ran his license and approximately 25 minutes later asked him to step out of the vehicle. Myers said that the officer said, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's a warrant out for your arrest from 2002. Apparently, you rented the movie Freddy Got Fingered and never returned it.
Quick question. Would that so they would specify that exactly in the warrant?
It's what he said. The cop said to him. He said, I thought he was joking. Myers said the officers were very polite and professional. They let him take his daughter to school and go to work as long as he promised to turn himself in to police later that day. Myers said that he thought everything would get straightened out at the department, but he was surprised when officers arrested him and then took him to the magistrate's office. He said, for the first time in my life, I got put in handcuffs.
Wow.
For the movie.
Freddy Got Fingered. And has Tom Green found out about this?
You know what? Tom Green ought to jump in and help pay this guy's legal costs.
Sure.
Myers said he vaguely remembers renting that particular movie from the family-owned video store. So he's got a court date coming up.
Were you good with video returns and all that stuff?
I didn't keep them, but I'd return them late all the time.
Oh, I'd get whomped for the late fees.
Dude, yeah. I had to pay like $40 in late fees for a movie called The Willies. It was terrible.
$40 in late fees for The Willies.
And remember, be kind.
Rewind.
That's right. A Florida couple were arrested Tuesday after an agreement led 51-year-old Susan Hurlvert to strike her husband, 66-year-old Carl Owen Smith, with a burrito to the back of his head. The Oskaloosa County Sheriff's Office said Smith retaliated by stabbing Hurlvert in the hand with a fork.
Fork trumps burrito.
Hurlvert told responding officers that the couple was fighting over Smith's desire to go to the bar and drink every night. Police say during the argument, Hurlvert hit him in the back of the head with her half-eaten Taco Bell Burrito Supreme. She said Smith then stabbed her hand with a fork he was using to eat a Taco Bell pizza and left her home. So, yeah, Steve, notice they're putting all these details in the police report. Taco Bell Burrito Supreme.
Yeah.
So they may indeed
put him in there. Yeah.
Freddy Got Fingered in those detailed police reports. Smith is charged with aggravated battery, and Hurlvert is charged with domestic violence-related battery.
You crazy bitch.
It's a real short story, but I did see video of it, and it's crazy. Sometimes people get lucky. Take, for example, 23-year-old Taylor Cook, who Baltimore police say crashed her Audi Q5 SUV through the concrete barrier of a parking garage last week. So, like, four or five stories up.
Wow.
And the vehicle, yeah, it was four stories. The vehicle fell four stories to the sidewalk below. There's video footage of it. You look at it and go, how did somebody live? Because it just
oh, I have to see
smashes
that.
On the wow. bottom. It landed on its roof. But she was not seriously injured.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so crazy. A year after Amina Hart had her daughter, Layla, by an anonymous sperm donor, she tracked him down because she wanted Layla to know her father. Well, the new mom actually managed to find the donor, and the two fell in love and got married.
Oh, what a love story.
Hart says on the TV series Australian Story, so romance was born.
Well, you have a new series, Sealed in Semen.
She said, I just essentially say to people, the cart well and truly came before the horse, and the horse, yeah, her name was Layla, and the horse caught up eventually and hooked itself on.
Any reason to just play this
yeah,
song?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then she entered into this journey.
Oh, yes.
To find the man who created the baby batter that spawned her child.
Hart says that she chose Scott Anderson's profile from a stack of three because he described himself as happy and healthy. And
happy, huh? I'm sorry, I'll let it go. Let it go.
You gotta admit, it was solid. Pretty solid.
I thought it was a little rocky.
Oh, yes!
Two more. Thank you.
But we went along the journey together.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I've lost my place.
They died in a fiery wreck.
No. Oh, yeah. She decided to track down the sperm donor because she didn't know her own father.
Yeah, that's him.
Anderson said, neither of us expect it to happen. I fell in love with Layla before I fell in love with Amina. And the couple story is already a book, and a movie is in the works.
Wow. That is, well, that's a very touching story about them getting together that way. I'm sure they would try to dissuade you from doing that, right?
What,
from tracking down the donor?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Disturbed. Revivalists. Motionless and White.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Kathy had mentioned a story in the news earlier. Was it in Drexel Hill?
Yeah, it was on Mary Street in Drexel Hill.
Yes, imagine Delaware County being the site of a huge party that got way out of hand.
300 high school kids, yeah. High school age, these two parents hosted this party. Their 17-year-old daughter promoted it on social media. 300 kids showed up.
Now, a relatively small house, yes?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the area and how the houses are laid out there, but I mean, 300 kids at any house, unless you live in a mansion.
Yeah,
it's going to be kind of tight.
300. That's as we said earlier. That's a good turnout for a club gig.
Yeah. Well, police said that there were about 100 kids on the lawn, like in the surrounding area, when they showed up. The rest inside, and that they just they said it looked like Broad Street. Well, like cars were coming and going, kids all over the place.
It was, but you would expect that on a Monday night.
No,
right?
No. It happened on Saturday.
Saturday. Okay.
Yeah.
But and it's was it nice on Saturday? It was still cold this weekend, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a little nippy. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But we're not even in spring and summer mode yet for big outdoor parties.
I'm sure they were supposed to be inside, and then when 300 people show up, you don't have enough room.
Spills
in the
outside.
House.
Yeah.
There's so many things about this story that are A, nostalgic, and B, bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, the parents, Preston, as we pointed out earlier, they're, oh, it's okay. they impressed me as sort of the cool party parents, you know?
Well, yeah.
They want to be the cool party
probably
parents.
Probably what they were doing.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, the fact that that they knew that there was drinking and so forth. Listen, if you have a teenager and you want to have a party, that's cool. But if there's drinking going on, you are, at least I know in some states, you're responsible.
Yes.
You're flat out responsible for what happens because you're the homeowner, you're the consenting adult and all that stuff.
We had growing up in our neighborhood, there was Randy was my friend, Randy, and his parents were the, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Come on over.
Hey,
have
guys.
A beer.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm one of you. No, you're not. By like 25 years. Whatever.
Kathy, you read earlier this morning Michael Chitwood's quote, and I understand it. He says, I will not allow parents to have these types of underage drinking, dope smoking parties in the township. It ain't going to happen. But what do you do? I mean, these parties are going to happen. Where do you
let them happen?
Well,
not
wait, as who the parent? What do you do?
I guess, or is yeah, this... I mean, if my
you don't
if...
allow your child to do that, they're yeah. in high school, their brains are still developing. You
not
can't,
at your house.
You can't condone that. Like, there's a certain point. You
I,
know,
I
like,
can't
you're
condone
parent...
it, but it's going to happen no matter what. So I know what teenagers are like. I think it's
but it's not.
I think it's unrealistic to deny the fact that these parties are going to happen. So how do you control it? How do you put it in a safe place? Because these teenagers are going to be teenagers.
Sure.
Let's not pretend that this isn't going to happen.
Well, also let's not pretend that all teenagers do this.
Of
Nick.
Course
like,
not. No,
not everybody goes to the woods to drink on Friday night.
I didn't.
Not
yet.
I
know.
I was a little angel.
There were plenty of clubs like Reach and Interact and a lot of kids that abstain from drinking and any type of drugs in high school. I certainly understand that. But I think that maybe 40 to 50% of teenagers do. So when you deal with numbers that are that high, how do you manage it in a realistic way and in a safe way?
But
that's all I'm asking, because I don't know what the answer is.
Neither do I. No,
I don't think realistically it is to allow them to drink in your house, because now you're responsible for all of these children, not just yours, but you're now responsible for everybody else who's drinking in your house.
That's very, very correct.
Which and is why these two were arrested.
Yeah. Preston, so at your home, listen, I've heard of parents allowing, okay, I'd prefer you, if you're going to have a beer or have beers
here.
With your friends, have it here.
Yeah.
I don't, it's rare that I've ever heard a parent say, if you and 299 of your friends want to come here and drink.
Right.
And I think that maybe, and I don't condone this either, but it's a little bit more understandable for the post-high school graduate, pre-21-year-old crowd, all right? So you're over 18, you're out of high school, you're still not old enough to drink.
Right.
You know, you're kind of an adult, but you're not allowed to. I'd rather you do it safely at my house. I'm taking your car keys, all of that sort of stuff. I understand that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not a big party
of
everybody. I mean, that's a different story. Because when I was 19, 20 years old, my parents knew I was drinking beer, you know, and I wasn't, you know, binge drinking or anything crazy like that. But they would allow that, you know, but not a party, not a giant bash.
Yeah.
No.
I waited till they were out of town when that happened.
Yes, right. Exactly.
We're going away to visit your Aunt Esther. Can you watch the house? Yeah.
Of course.
Those never went well either.
Oh, my God. No.
Ever.
I called the police on my own party.
I can't believe you did that. That was the option. Did you get arrested?
No.
No? Okay.
No, when the police arrived, I'm like, I live here. I called you guys. I want these people out of my house.
Wow.
Case, we did that too.
Yeah.
And it was at our parties that they would, now I never had a party at my house. My mom, you know, she never left.
She was watching Pat Robertson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's what would happen. The few people that, whoever the homeowner or the kids in the house wanted to stay, you'd tell those people, call the cops, everybody else would scatter, and then your party would be shrunk down to, you know, 10 people.
Yeah, nobody. And what I would do is that when I would call the police, I literally said, look, I had a party. A lot of people showed up that I don't know. I can't get them out of my house. I need some help. And sure enough, they sent over the cops.
You basically spoke the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
And that was it.
And
exactly.
It. Yeah.
And I was trying to get people out of my house, and they would not leave.
Okay, so.
I mean, honestly, you guys need to get out of here. You need to leave. The party is over. And nobody moves.
No, it's a party.
What do you do? You're outnumbered. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that it's your house.
What was the largest difference between intended invitees and actual resulting attendant?
Me personally?
Attenders to the party.
At one of my own parties?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I couldn't even, I don't know. Just every there were people on every floor. We had, you know, basement, main floor, and upstairs. And
right.
I don't know, maybe 100 people or something like that. But, I mean,
that's a lot.
Yeah, and it starts off with just wanting to have like 20 over.
Yeah.
So you got five times what you expected. Cars up and down the street. Neighbors pissed off. Trash in the yards. Because nobody cares.
No, it's not their house.
Oh, yeah. They're throwing stuff around.
I have a question for you. All right, so you have neighbors and you're friendly with these people. They go away and their kids have a party and it gets out of control. Is there a certain respect that you have for the parents and the kids that you don't call the cops so they don't get arrested or
no.
No?
No. Nope.
No, because you know what? It is going to get out of hand. That's the problem. It's probably best that you do. Or maybe, Casey, you go over and say, look, I'm going to I'm going to call the cops.
Hey, like, I'm just don't... like you guys.
No, but tell them, you know.
No, yeah, and break up the party or I'm calling the cops.
And it's kind of like Border Patrol. One or two are going to get caught, you know, and everybody else is going to scatter, you know, is kind of how it's going to
happen. I remember my, and we still talk about this, when I was a sophomore, my friend had a party when it was his parents were out of town, and it was one of those deals where, I mean, I was there in the beginning, it was like 5 of us, 10 of us there, you know, and then slowly but surely people just started pouring in. I mean, there was a beer ball, and then, and that was it, and next thing you know, cops are there. My friend watches the entire thing get busted from the tree in his backyard.
What would you say it topped out at? So you were one of the initial 5 or 10. How many were in the house by the time the cops were called?
Oh, I don't even know. 100, maybe?
This is pre social, you know, social media. Before getting the word out was just as easy as a tweet. So imagine what you're looking at now.
I remember two times, two different parties, where a helicopter.
You had a helicopter? You had
a helicopter? Dude, all of a sudden a light comes out of the sky, and everybody's like, oh my God.
You had a hell of a party.
The Lampros twins had a party.
Lampros twins.
They were hot, too.
Wow.
And
the kind of twins that Fonzie would date.
And they were really cool, and the party got out of hand. I'll never forget it. And then all of a sudden, I think as we named the helicopter. St. Louis County Police had brown, their cars were brown.
Okay.
And their helicopter was brown, so it was the Brown Hornet. And so all of a sudden we see the Brown Hornet up there, and we're like, you got to be kidding me, man.
Wow.
And then another time, Ricky Rodriguez, his parents owned a, they owned like a, they're horticulture. So they grew trees and stuff. They had all this land.
All right.
And so he had a field party. Wow. And yeah, the helicopter came out for that one too.
How many would you say?
People were there?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. That was the first night I ever played at a party in a band.
Oh!
And,
man.
And so we're out in the field, and we had to get our equipment out of there while the helicopter and the cops and everybody were showing up.
Was it a paid gig?
But I was able to say, I'm with the band.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, I'm just hired.
I'm supposed to be here.
You know?
I'm over by the ferns.
God. Did you ever run, though? Were you ever the one that had to run and ended up?
Okay. So there's another story. And this wasn't at a gigantic blowout party. And I thought I was being responsible, okay? Yeah. So we're just out in the street having a couple of beers as a teenager. I was probably 18 years old. And I don't know, it was like a dozen of us, just a thing outside on the sidewalk. And I wasn't in my neighborhood. I was in somebody else's neighborhood. Cop pulls up the street. Everybody runs. Except for me.
Okay. Right. You're going to be responsible.
I thought, I will be responsible. I will talk to this police officer like an adult.
Constable.
Yes. Yeah. And he will probably respect the fact that I am not running from the law.
You're a fine, upstanding citizen, young man, and we're going to give you a citizen's badge.
I had 30 hours of community service I had to do at the Jewish Center for the Aged, washing dishes.
You know what? The same thing happened to me. I got let go, though. During my college years, and it was in the summer, and my friend Rob and I were walking home from a friend's house. And we weren't at, like, a huge party, but we were drinking at this house, and we're just walking, and next thing you know, a Ridley cop comes up behind us, and he took off. It was like, and he's gone, right? Football player, he's gone. And the thing is, where we were walking, there was a footbridge where the cop couldn't have gotten to me. You know what I mean? He would have gotten out of his car and run after me, but I stopped anyway. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm just going home, man. You know? He's like, okay, get
home. Going to the Jewish Center.
But Casey, when the cop came up, I was still holding a beer.
Oh, well, that's the problem.
Yeah. That was the problem.
That's the problem.
So I had a beer in my hand, and he's like, I have to.
Yeah.
I got to write you a ticket. I can't let you go. Damn it.
How do you feel about matzah?
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it at the Jewish Center for the Aged. Here's a text says, I am a cop in a college town in New Jersey. Every time we get a large college party complaint, we tell the kids next time to call us if it gets out of hand, and we'll gladly help them get people out, and they don't have to worry about getting tickets or arrested.
There you go. They're saying. They're down with that protocol. Yeah. So remember that.
We had a friend whose dad was a cop. So he would kind of alert us if the cops were called out to a house and he knew that we were at the party. He'd give us a heads up so we could get out of there.
Your friend Elisa has a crazy party story, Kathy.
I'm sure she has plenty of them. I'm not really sure that I want to go to her.
Okay. Well, she's on the line.
Yeah, you do. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, what's up, Elisa?
Unfortunately, the story is not about Kathy. However, she was there. But just like everyone says, I think we had some of the most legendary high school parties ever. And this one is an all-time favorite. We were partying. It was a basement party. So everyone's downstairs having the best time when all of a sudden water comes rushing through the ceiling. And everyone's like, what is going on? Oh, my God. What? Like, everyone's freaking out. We go upstairs. A friend and his girlfriend at the time are having relations in the upstairs bathroom, and he busted the sink off the wall because he had his girlfriend on the sink. And
oh, my God.
Was that Kathy on the sink?
That's awesome.
No. It was not. So it busts the sink off the wall, and water is now flushing through the floor and flooding out the basement party. So he's got his pants down, and his girlfriend's on the sink, booty naked, and everyone's standing outside now watching at this point.
How many people were in the basement?
It was a big party.
It was a big party, and wasn't the mother home of the
Yes. So the mom of the kid is home somehow. It's so random. And so now she's freaking out. Her bathroom is flooding. There's naked people. There's like wild kids drinking Boone's Farm, freaking out. Like it was
Boone's Farm.
That's right. Boone's Farm. Yes.
You know, it's funny, though, because as you now are talking as an adult, you know, and you try to admonish younger people listening to not do this stuff, you can sort of hear the glee in your voice as you're recounting this.
Right? Well,
so it's certainly a mixed message that's being sent.
Oh, I know. They were fun. These insane, crazy parties were a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I know. And there's, like, Elisa's right. Like, we have so many. When I asked you if you ran, I was going to tell you, we ran from a party once. Elisa ended up at a truck stop on 95, and I was with my friend Bobby in some bush hiding from the police as they drove down the street.
All right. So, a truck stop, and you're in the bush.
And I'm in the bush with Bobby.
Thanks, Elisa.
Bye, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Do you remember when parties, the potential for a party was measured by the number of kegs that would be there?
Oh, yeah.
It's a three kegger tonight, man.
So you guys were kegs in high school? Guys, we were not.
You don't hear kegs anymore.
No. And then kegs got banned in college. It was always number of cases. So
My parties were inspirational speakers.
Right.
Three inspirational speakers.
Tony Robbins.
Tonight.
There tonight.
You got to be there, man.
See, I wasn't really a drinker in high school, but I would go and I would go to some places and not drink because I thought if I have to run from the cops and if I get caught, at least if I'm not drinking, they're going to let me go.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And it worked to your favor, right?
I never had to run from the cops.
Yeah.
Hang on. I want to go to Bill, who actually lives on Mary Street where this party took place.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Bill, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, my man. All right, so you live on the street where this party took place.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. This is the type of street that is like the Twilight Zone. Like, there ain't anybody ever on this street unless it's like a cop or,
right,
you know, somebody doing drugs or something.
Yeah.
But I pull up Saturday night, and for the first time in my life, and I've been there since 98, there's just people everywhere.
Wow.
And I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And then my neighbor tells me that supposedly somebody's having a graduation party from college. But turns out it's teenagers, actually.
Yeah. And by the way, it's spring break right now.
Yeah.
It's not graduation.
That's what I didn't understand any of that either. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So about 10 minutes after I pull up, I'm hearing all this noise. And I'm wondering what's going on. So I open up the front door, and the next thing you know, all the sirens from all the Upper Darby police come. And I'm just kind of, there's just waves of people. Like, it's like when you hit the lights and the cockroaches come flying out of every.
Yeah.
And literally, I was looking down the street for the clown car. Like, it was just unbelievable.
So
like,
just all over.
And it took about like an hour or two.
All over the lawns? And was there damage after everyone had cleared out?
I mean, I didn't see any damage, but there was literally so many people that they were getting arrested and they were pulling paddy wagons. They actually had to tape off our whole end of the street.
Oh, so they block off the street and they're calling in paddy wagons.
Yeah, it was bad. I heard about maybe 3 to 5 people got arrested about a block away from mine, but they had to take like at least an hour or two just to get them to keep moving. They were like for the next 3 blocks over. There was just people walking through everybody's yards and everything, and everybody's, you know, trying to message me on Facebook, like, what's going on your street?
So, Bill, when did it finally wrap up?
it was probably about, by the time the cops ended up leaving, it was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
At least.
Wow. That's a... That's one for the record books.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks. You guys have a great one.
You too. We'll see you later. There was that party I had in the Bizarre File a couple of weeks ago. Now it was a fraternity party, but there were a ton of underage kids there.
Yeah.
And when they did an analysis of the air. They were using breathalyzers, and just in the ambient air alone, it was like a 0.8 or something along
that. The air was drunk.
A 0.08.
Right.
The air was legally drunk.
The air was legally drunk.
There was that much booze.
Did you ever see the movie? It's based on an actual party of this nature. Project X, I think it's called.
Yes.
Yeah, where it's a party gets... It's based on a true story. Party got away from these kids, and it took over multiple houses, like a whole block, and it was just pandemonium.
Yeah.
But it's exactly of this nature.
I would have had major anxiety if I was at something like that. I really would have.
I always think it's sort of a lit match ready to blow it, you know, or a lit fuse, I should
Believe
say, ready
not,
to blow at any point.
A mob mentality
does kick in, right?
Can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get that large of a group of people without any rules, you know, as far as they're concerned, and there's plenty of booze, and a house will get completely torn to shreds. I mean, you know, looted.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, we did go through it. So, like, you know, I went through it. I was there. I experienced it. So I feel like maybe I'm a little more prepared to be like, no, and to the signs to look out for and to try to.
What happens, though, Kathy, when you get asked the question, but did you do it?
Absolutely. No, I didn't. Except now this podcast exists.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Ken. Hey, Ken, you're on the air. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Oh, thank you, Ken. What's up, bud?
Had a high school party back in Great Valley times, and there was buddies of mine lived next door to a house that was already for sold, like basically sold. And they had a party, and there was no furniture in the place. There must have been 500 people there. And then as the night progressed, all of a sudden people started wrecking stuff. Windows were being broken.
Yep.
People were trying to go through walls. It was nuts. And then, like, later on, when the cops were interviewing, you know, they were interviewing every guy. And basically, like, I was one of the main suspects. They thought... you know, who wrecked the place, and they it was a big mess, and I tell you, it was one of the best parties.
It's a big mess, and it was one of the best parties I've ever been, with 500-plus people.
Now, I want to come out clean right now.
Yep.
I did not wreck anything except one thing, and that was a dress coat that I was trying to do, a fat guy in a little coat.
And that was it.
That was it.
All right. You're absolved.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ken.
Can I say hi to my wife, Lauren?
You certainly can. Go ahead, Ken.
We're celebrating our 4 years. I love you, Lauren.
Oh, right, that's very nice.
Good for you, bud.
Big kegger tonight.
I think of the, because we were talking the movie Back to School was on the other day, the scene where they have the dorm party.
Yeah.
And on the way out, they see the guy's really wasted. He's like, Mountains have the greatest party of all time. This is the greatest night of my life. Just puking all over the place.
Go to line two, Press. I've never heard of, that's almost biblical.
I will go to Nick. Hi, Nick. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, bud. Want to hear your story. What's going on?
So, crazy story. So, I went to school in Wilmington, North Carolina, right?
Yep.
It's a beach, North Carolina. It's a pretty cool place. Needless to say, I was like, hey, we're all coming back to school. Let me throw a big party for everybody. Grabbed all these people, grabbed all these underclassmen, got the word out. First weekend of school, 27 kegs, sold $1,800 worth of keg cups, around $5 a piece. I had six friends from the Army. They were in Fayetteville, North Carolina, because that's where I went to high school. Had six friends that had joined the Army. They came up. They were selling kegs, cups. They were kind of police things. The party got completely out of hand. The cops come. People are mad. People are, I mean, everybody's leaving. Everybody's pissed, mad. Needless to say, cars started going up on their side, like way down the street, like way away from the party. As people are just leaving away, there's like the rugby team or something. I don't know. They're crazy. Started picking up cars and putting them on their side.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
See, I had the mob mentality.
Yeah, totally.
27 kegs, though.
Were they pissed off because they had paid their $5 and only got to have one beer and it was busted up or something?
That's the risk you take.
I had gotten like a noise ordinance till like 10 o'clock. So from like 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock, I had a noise ordinance.
We started the party like 5. I had a porta potty come, delivered to the street.
Yeah.
I had these barricades where it had blocked the whole street off, thinking it was going to be we're just going to have a good time. Needless to say, when things got out of hand, people were mad. Not mainly because they got just one keg cup. I think mainly because they were expecting the party to go till 10, and it was like,
yeah. Hey, but Nick, let me ask you, what percentage were underage, or was this an of age party?
Nah, it was a lot of underclassmen. Here's the crazy thing about it. So when the police finally get there, they come in droves, and they call them the ALE, Alcohol Legal Enforcement or something down there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the guy comes up to me. He said, "Who's the owner of the house?" And I was like, "Oh, it's me. It's my party here. Here it is. What do you need? People to leave, whatnot. We've got the noise around us till 10. He says, "Listen, I just want to ask you something. How much were the keg cups?" And I was like, "I don't know. I wasn't selling keg cups." He was like, "No, just tell me. Come on. How much were the keg cups?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm not selling the keg cups. I don't know. I'm not charged with that." He was like, "All right, well, just tell me, how much were they?" And I was like, "I think they were like $5. He says, "All right, come with me." I guess that was all they needed to prosecute me or whatnot.
Oh, because you were charging. Because
you charged for the booze. Okay, yeah, makes sense.
That's how they got
it. Is it weird that the alcohol enforcement organization is ALE?
A-L-E.
Yeah.
ALE.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. So did you end up did you get arrested?
So I didn't actually get arrested that night, two of the army guys end up getting fights with the cops or something.
It's just stupid.
All right.
I paid $1,800 in profit that I made.
Yeah,
all of it back in legal fees, because I had to get a lawyer for those guys, and that's pretty much.
But you got one hell of a story out of it.
Dude, in pictures galore. Dude, my yard was trash. Every yard around was trash. Oh, crazy.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We appreciate it. And here's the one thing about that's different from years ago with this party that took place over the weekend in Drexel Hill, and the fact that they were busted is that it was promoted on social media.
Yeah.
You have a paper trail.
Yes, mm-hmm. You do.
You now have a paper trail, and cops, they certainly use social media quite a bit for the, and they
especially Upper Darby, man.
And they'll track down and they can find and go, "Well, it says right here, you invited all these people, you know, and these people are underage and so on and so forth. You are therefore responsible," and all that other stuff. That's how it's a tad bit different.
And you might have included prices for your cups and things like that.
That's true, too.
It's all right there.
And you know what? Like, so these parents, because they condone these actions or at least, help facilitate, what happens to them? What happens to the, because you have the court of social media, right? Because you've seen this happen, several times over the last few years where so-and-so's parent bought the kegs, and but so what legally happens?
I mean,
to
they're gonna get hit with something. I don't know. I mean, it's not like they robbed a liquor store, but they're gonna get misdemeanors,
corruption of minors, disorderly conduct, providing alcohol to underage teens. Those are the arraign. That's what they were charged under.
And so that's that. And then now that this is in the news, do they then lose their jobs? Like, this thing is going
to
have a major
that remains to be seen.
Trickle down.
Unless they're party planners.
Exactly.
Then their business
they just use it as an ad.
Look what we
did.
All right, anyhow. It was an epic bash this weekend in Drexel Hill, man.
You know what, though? Busted at 10:30 at night.
So really?
It didn't go all that long.
Didn't get that late. All right, interesting. All right, well, thanks for your calls. I appreciate those who were on hold and we didn't get a chance to get to. I'm sorry that you've been on hold for a while. We do have to take ourselves a break.
This Friday at 5 p.m., kick off your Labor Day weekend with MMR's annual Back to School A to Z. Our annual list of thousands of songs that run the gamut. A unique, deep, and no-repeat A to Z countdown. 10 days of oh, cool, oh, wow, and undoubtedly a few
oh, no's.
All in alphabetical order. MMR's Back to School A to Z. Presented by Exton Nissan. 2018 Nissan Rogue SUV, just $18,990. And from 93.3 WMMR. Everything, and we mean everything, that rocks.
Well, the gang is back in town.
Yes.
How about that? And Mac is sitting in our studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob McElhenney.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Wonderful to see you. It's been a while since we've seen you in the flesh.
It has been a while. I think Caitlin and I were in here about 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that right?
But I remember being here, I guess it was the old studio.
Yeah.
Season one, so 12 years ago.
Man, oh man. That's unbelievable. Well, it's been that long, so and how are your kids doing, by the way?
They're maniacs.
Are they maniacs?
Yeah.
Five and four.
Wow.
You know, it's the best.
Yes.
It's the best. They're crazy. They're going to be here this week, and they have never... My oldest son, Axel, has been to Philly, but my youngest son, Leo, has not.
Okay.
So this is his first trip.
How
to,
are they
to Philadelphia.
Traveling? Are they...
Pretty great. Yeah, that's actually why we haven't been able to shoot in Philly for the past few years, just because it was too difficult for them to fly the
right.
6 hours.
I think we met Axel because you guys did some exterior shooting and interior shooting at St. Joe's Prep a few years ago. And that may have been the last time that I think we were on set with you guys.
Yes. And he was an infant then. It was easy to fly with him then because he would sleep most of the time. But for the past few years, it's a little bit more difficult. Anyway, they're back and we're going to take them down to the Jersey Shore next week for the week.
Yes, we'd heard
about
that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That's very cool. Not going to replicate what happened in the show, obviously, when you went down to the Jersey
Shore. I don't know. Fingers crossed, man. We'll see.
It is part of the character. That particular episode has become such lore. You know, it's referenced constantly when everybody talks about going down to the shore because of the painful accuracies of so much of what's in that. But yeah, it's still, it's the place to go. So.
Yeah. All right, so you're in town, obviously, the Cora for Kids Golf Classic. You had gotten in touch with us initially when the announcement was made and everything, so we're pretty excited about it. Now, you're not playing today, right?
Oh, I'm playing.
Oh, you're playing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, look out.
Charlie is playing in our foursome.
Yes.
I understand that. Now, what's his level of play?
Charlie's he's a player.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any idea what like a handicap he is or anything?
I think he's like a 6.
Oh, okay. So he's in the same ballpark
like
as me.
Maybe 5 or 6. Yeah. He's
nice.
A bomber.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's amazingly athletic. I mean, we saw him on skates. We did that episode with you guys, a period, I should say. But he was zipping around on the skates like nobody's business.
Is he a hockey player or a baseball or both?
Yeah, all of it. Okay. He played hockey and baseball, and then he picked up golf. And it's surprising to look at him to think. And
well, I love how you sort of bring that into his character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like where he just sits down at the piano and he just starts playing it. And you're like, we didn't know you could play the piano. He's like, I can. He's like, I don't know. It just kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, last season we did an episode called the Wade Boggs.
That was an
amazing
episode.
And we're flying across the country. And you guys are familiar with the Wade Boggs myth? Legend?
Yes.
It turns out it was a little bit inaccurate. We found out that it was not, in fact, 56 beers that he drank across the country, but it was somewhere around like 70.
Shut up!
70.
You aired...
Corroborated by Mr. Boggs.
Wow.
Yes, 70 beers. Now, that's from the time he woke up to the time he went to sleep. So that's the including the entire road trip across the country.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so at the end of that episode, I'm pitching to Charlie and I'm throwing, from the mound, and Charlie's wasted and he's and on screen it looks like I'm throwing with a broken arm. That's how unathletic I am.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
And Charlie whips this ball and it goes over the fence, and he looks like a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'll tell you what.
It was humiliating.
That episode was so great because everybody, except for you, was drunk. I mean, not really, but playing drunk. And I can't stand it when people play a terrible drunk.
It's a difficult thing to pull off.
It's a very tough thing to play off. And
but at the end, while playing baseball, Charlie plays a really good drunk.
Yes.
And I was convinced.
Well, how do you know he wasn't?
Well, that was my next question.
I didn't think you were allowed to. I didn't think you were allowed to actually be drunk. I thought, I don't know.
Who would be the governing body? Yes. Though, that
the Hayes Commission?
The Screen Actors Guild? I don't know.
No. What you're thinking of is that you're... There used to be, I guess they've cut back, in the days of Carson's Tonight Show, they would have alcohol and they'd be
drunk. Yeah.
But, Hoda and Kathy Lee
slam
the wine every morning.
I had thought I had heard something, back, because when Animal House, when they have the toga party scene, there's a scene in that where they're all singing Louie Louie or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, they all really seem drunk. And I thought I had heard at that point that you weren't allowed to actually be drunk on screen for the movies.
I've never heard
whatever.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
whatever.
That's completely
false. I'm going to go back in my box.
Rob works in the industry. He says no, that's not accurate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. In fact, it's encouraged oftentimes. we're from a different generation. Danny's generation, those guys, when they were doing like Taxi and Cheers, the stories from like the writer's rooms,
Yeah.
Because they would be up all night, you know, writing, and they partied, man. Sure. They had some fun.
I have no doubt. Probably some of the best episodes born out of that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, how else would you write an episode of Perfect Strangers?
Over the weekend, I took my kids to go see Finding Dory.
Mm.
And your wife, by the way, my daughter, at the end, flat out, the credits are rolling, and she tells me her favorite character was Destiny. And I was like, well, you know, I'm actually going to see the girl who does her voice. And she's like, so excited about that. Caitlin had fun with that.
Oh, so much fun. Yeah. What an amazing process, because it actually takes about 4 years to make one of those movies. And the reason that those Pixar movies are so good is because they iterate over the course of those 4 years to make it the best possible movie they can. And so the original script that she got was completely different than the movie that wound up getting made. And it's only be through that process of recognizing what's working, what's not working over 4 years, can they make a movie that good?
Well, we've had a number of the directors in here and writers for many of those projects, and they reach a certain point, they have them scheduled. Everyone in the conference room are going to run it. What do you think? And then for example, Zootopia had an entire different focus. They focused on an entirely different character than what they ended up with, you know, in the eventual movie. So yeah, and that's how it gets so good. But it's weird. So when she did her voice work on it, was that 3.5 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it was 3.5 years ago, actually 4 years ago. And then she, like 6 months later, she would come back and do it again.
Wow.
And then 6 months after that, do it again. And then what she wound up recording got less and less changed over the course of those 4 years.
Speaking of making movies, this is a while back, but I'd read a news story that Rob was going to be directing the Minecraft movie. So I texted him. I said, you just became my kid's hero. You know, you're directing the Minecraft movie. And you sent back and you go, they'll be in college by the time that movie comes out.
Yes, I think they're actually announcing that today, the release date for that movie. And it's gonna
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'm allowed to say yet, but I think it's coming out today. It's going to be
all right, so if
they're
announcing a release date, then that's within 2 years, I would imagine, something.
You would imagine.
So this is clearly, I mean, you've directed, obviously.
Yes.
You know, this is would have to be technically the biggest thing you've ever done. Are you doing, is there any kind of prep, or any movies you're watching, or what? How are you getting yourself?
Well,
in the
frame? It's a tremendous amount of prep that goes into it. Again, this movie will probably take about from the time I got the job to the time the movie comes out, it'll be 3 or 4 years.
Wow!
And so you spend most of that time just getting ready for it, gearing up, watching tons of movies, and then surrounding yourself with the most talented people you can that have made these kinds of movies before. I don't know if you guys saw Jungle Book, but yeah. I saw Jungle Book and was just like blown away by that movie. And that entire movie was shot in a warehouse.
Man.
The entire movie.
Right?
Yeah, but you know,
sorry, that was in a jungle. Yes.
I just told Casey there's no Santa Claus. I'm so sorry.
Or is there?
There could be. Yeah.
There is.
So have you been watching a lot of YouTubers and things like that? People playing the game? Because that's what my kids do constantly.
Yes. Yeah, so I actually sat down with one of those guys. He's a 22-year-old kid, and he just makes YouTube videos for Minecraft. And if you look him up, he's got some of these videos have – it's just him playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
95 million views, 150 million views.
Yep.
But look,
it's
at
crazy.
Like PewDiePie, those guys who are just have phenomenal followings, and they're playing and talking about the game they're playing.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yes. I've become well-versed in Stampy Cat.
Yes. Stampy.
Captain Sparkles.
Diamond Minecart.
Dan the Diamond Minecart. Yeah. Oh, I'm in it, babe.
A Ballistic Squid.
Yeah.
I know all those guys.
Yeah, you know them.
Yep, absolutely.
They all have houses in the Hollywood Hills.
Unbelievable.
So what's the tone and tenor of the movie going to be? Is it going to be
It's going to be live action,
okay.
Which is going to be kind of strange and subversive, but it's going to have kind of the comedy of. It's going to feel a lot like Guardians of the Galaxy. That's what I'm going for.
Oh, awesome!
Which
awesome.
I love that movie.
Love it.
Yeah, and the sequel to that's coming out soon too, as well. I wanted to ask you sort of a philosophical question. We had Jason Segel in studio a few years ago, and he was promoting "I Love You, Man," and he talked about How I Met Your Mother as sort of the what got him to the dance a little bit, and it opened up all these doors for him, and. Maybe he was past that in his career, but he still loved doing it because of what it had gotten, the doors that it had opened up for him. Do you kind of feel that way about Sonny when you look back on the arc of that show and how long it's lasted? Or is it still your baby?
It's definitely still my baby. I mean, you know, I can't imagine a better job, and I don't take it for granted. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as the audience is still there, as long as we're still having fun making it, and that we can still make fresh and original episodes that are fun and funny, and the network wants to keep making them, I'll just keep doing it forever.
The way that I look at the show is I leave it for a little while, and then I come back, and I'm reminded as how funny it is. And I think it was the Wade Boggs episode that got me back into it. And there are so many ways to consume it now. You'll be channel surfing, and it'll come across it on Comedy Central, or it's on Netflix, or wherever. And I love revisiting it. I love coming back to it because it is still a good show. And I'm not saying that because you're sitting here. I'm saying it because it makes me laugh, you know, and not everything out there does that. Does it still make you laugh?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't do it if it didn't. And we still take it very seriously, like that we care about it and we just don't want to make a bad episode. So, look, every episode can't be great, but it's not for lack of trying. We swing for the fences in every episode, we never take one off.
It's a more limited schedule, so you're not having to come up with 30 episodes, which makes it cool. And again, I agree with Nick, and I know we all, Casey believes this as well, that it's getting better and better the more and started great, the more sociopathic and off the wall and avant-garde it mm-hmm. has become. I mean, probably my favorite episode of the entire series was the almost one set, The Family Feud.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Just howlingly funny.
Yeah. Your wife, man.
But that's not easy either.
It's like, not. Yeah.
In fact, it's incredibly difficult to make it consistently funny.
Well, we do have the luxury of only doing 10 episodes a year, so we can keep up the quality because we're focused on those 10 episodes, like Steve was saying. And then we have 6 months off. So that's an important 6 months because not only does it allow us to spend time with our families and friends or do other work that we want to do, but it allows us to go out and like just recharge mm-hmm. and go experience life and then be able to come back and have more things to satire.
I'll tell you what, though, those 10 weeks, they go by real quick.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm telling you, like the last four seasons, I'm like, it's over already?
Oh, I feel that way about Game of Thrones, man.
Yeah. What a bummer. I didn't watch last. I didn't either.
Yeah. I didn't either. Yeah.
We'll watch it tomorrow.
Isn't this a radio show? A daily radio show?
No, to drive home from the store.
You're misunderstanding now. The days of talking about an episode when it aired are over because you get bashed for spoiler alert crap. When Lost was on, we used to talk and do the recaps all the time. We talked about your episodes and everything. Now, if you talk about a show the day after, you're going to be excoriated for revealing plot points.
Remember the time where Nick ruined the Flyers game for you?
Dude, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Flyers,
yeah.
Devils in the playoffs.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's right.
I should have watched. I should have watched the final episode last night, but, you know, we get up at 4 a.m., we got a golf outing to play today, blah, 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 blah.
So yes. I'll
watch it. So you watched it, obviously. Were you happy?
I was very happy, yeah, okay. but also depressed, as I always get at the end of each season, because it's over.
And you got to wait so damn long.
And I'm constantly complaining to those guys, because they're good friends of ours, to do more episodes, and they throw it right back at me.
Well, they wrote an episode of Sunny, right?
They wrote an episode of Sunny a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And how did that come about? I mean, you found out they were fans, or you?
We were friends, and they pitched us. We went out to dinner one night, and David and Dan pitched me an episode of the show that I thought was really funny, and I brought it back to the guys. It was where Charlie gets smart. For an episode.
Like Flowers for Algernon.
It was based on Flowers for Algernon.
Yes.
Actually, the movie was called Charlie.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
And so they pitched it over dinner, and I thought, wow, it's really funny. And I brought it back to Glenn and Charlie, and they were like, look, any opportunity where we don't have to write a script, we will take it.
And you still only did 10 episodes season.
Yes, and then we did 9. But yeah, they were great.
Oh, shoot. What was I going to say? Oh, it was a really good question, too, Rob.
Well, may I jump in while you think about that? The chronology of the show and you guys getting together and that sort of symmetry and chemistry that occurred is the proverbial lightning in a bottle. But did you meet on a horror movie? The story's been told and probably told inaccurately, but were you all working on a horror movie?
No, Charlie and I actually met because we were both living in New York City and we were flying out to L.A. to screen test for the same part in a TV show. and we were on the same plane. So we met on the plane, and I saw him reading his script, and I noticed it was the same as mine. We started talking, and I noticed it was the same character.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I noticed it was the same character. And, you know, I like got on the plane, and I was like super confident. It was a comedy. I was like super confident. I'm like, I'm going to get this job. Like, by the end of the flight, I was like, I'm not going to get this job. This guy's going to get this job.
Oh, man.
And so, then it wound up, this is the entertainment business, but it wound up falling apart. So they put us up. We stayed in the hotel the next morning. We did the test in the morning. And then by the afternoon, the whole show fell apart.
They pulled the plug and we flew back.
You've had a couple, for example, and correct me if I'm wrong, you had a script that you had written optioned by Paul Schrader?
Yes.
Who wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's one of the absolute best screenwriters in the business. What was the project?
It was called Those Invited In. It was my first script. So I was struggling in New York, going through those kinds of things, like with Charlie, and not getting jobs and working in a
What are you, like, bar. 21 at this point?
Yeah, I was 21.
Yeah.
22. And just complaining about not working. And then my manager at the time, was actually still my manager, said, hey, why don't you write something? So that's what I did. And I wrote this very dark drama, very different than Sonny, not a comedy at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I never considered myself a very funny person, and I was never really, I wasn't known, and I wasn't that. In fact, that comedy that I was going out for to test with Charlie was like an anomaly. I was never going out for those kinds of parts. I'm not a funny person. I was never a funny person. In high school, I wasn't funny.
You're not going to convince us of that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I'm good at is surrounding myself with people who are much more talented at something I'm endeavoring at, and then I just get my hooks into them, and then I just ride them into the sunset.
Well, I'll tell you what, the entire cast is super charming in their own way. And what I love about you guys, and we've talked about this on our show, is that you guys never win. In all the seasons you guys have made, and all the shows you've ever made, you've only won in one episode, and that was the Flipadelphia episode.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard because there's there's two shows that I really like where the main characters don't win, and it starts to get annoying after a little while. Silicon Valley, those guys keep losing, and I still love the show, but I'm like, you just want them to win. Just one victory. Also,
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth. Will Forte keeps losing, and you just want them to win. But for some reason, like, you guys keep losing, and it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know how you guys were able to do that for the viewer.
Well, one thing I'll say is, the guys in Silicon Valley aren't sociopaths.
That's the thing.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And they seem like sweet guys that you want to succeed. Our characters are
huffing pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, degenerates. And so I think that has a lot to do with it.
It seems more linear with the failure.
We did the episode with you, and Fred Savage was the director, and we were down at City Hall, and there was a huge crowd of people, and it was so cool to watch you guys go over and interact. And you, ladies and gentlemen, it's Kevin from the Wonder Years. You're just totally hanging him out to dry. It was so funny. And the crowd ate it up, man.
They shot one episode in South Philly one year, and it was the Serpico episode. And there
I was with you for that. Yeah.
And there was a bus of like 7th and 8th grade girls that went, you know, Center City or South Philly. And they saw Danny DeVito and they went nuts, you know, and to see these young girls
but
go
they
crazy.
Didn't know who, they were like, hey, it's that guy from the thing.
Yeah, I think he's in Matilda or The Lorax, you know, but it was so cool to see several generations up and down go crazy.
But remember,
like
he went off to the side and he was like taking pictures, signing autographs, and you guys were like, Danny, you have to get on set. Yeah. It's time to start filming.
Yeah. That's pretty much our entire episode.
will he wander like a child, just kind of, you know?
Yeah. Well, all day, every day.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. That's sort of his approach to life.
Do you have like a cat wrangler who takes care of you?
A Danny Wrangler. Yeah. He's actually taught me quite a bit about, just speaking to Nick's point, about, we've been on the air now for 12 years, which is almost like an entire generation of viewers. So we have writers in our room right now. There's a writing team, two ladies, and they've been watching us since 8th grade.
Wow.
Yeah, and now they're professional writers, so we have to seek them out because we want to bring in younger people you know, as much as we can.
Yeah, you figure when you guys started, some kid that was 12 years old was sneaking in to watch the show is now in their mid-20s.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's like Simpsons writers weren't born when the show began.
Yes.
It's insane.
And it's important because, you know, and this is something that Danny said to me very early on when I asked him, hey, after we had already had him sign his contract, I'm like, why would you want to do this show, man?
It seemed an
anomaly. He said because his kids thought it was funny. And I'm like, do you think it's funny? He's like, yeah, I get most of it. But I don't get all of it. And I thought, wow, that's a great point. Like, very, very rarely will you see comedy transcend generation. It's, you know, there are a few people out there that do, but those are anomalies. And so you have to like find young people and ask them, hey, what's funny? And try to stay relevant.
It's job security. Yeah. It's part of the deal. I was at an event yesterday, and the 13, 14-year-old girl listened to the show, and her dad listened to the show. Like, well, oh, yeah, but that's – you cast the widest net.
I was watching The Simpsons with my kids last night, and there were a couple of adult jokes that I laughed at. And my 10-year-old was like, why is that funny? I'm like, I can't –
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. I'll let you know in a little while. But it wasn't like overly dirty or anything like that, but it was just, you know, sort of above her head.
But the crazy thing about The Simpsons is you could have just as easily had that same experience, except you were the 10-year-old and your dad was watching with you.
That's how long, living in a world without The Simpsons doesn't seem possible. I have to ask you, we had Bill Burr on the phone. He's pushing his gigs, and he was just, he loved, obviously, he was going off about you and in particular and how much he loved working with you. The show is Pariah, is that you're working on? And he loved the whole experience. Is that done?
Yeah. Dead.
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 Dead
as Dillinger. It drove me insane.
Yeah.
It was, look, I've made pilots before for shows that have been terrible. And it's just, it just happens. You know, you can't, you do your best. That was a great pilot. It was a great show. And FX didn't pick it up. And it drove me insane.
That wasn't the, because he also had an animated show. Is that?
No, it's not okay. That.
All right.
No.
It's wild because you mentioned the way that the business works. We had Kevin Smith on not that long ago. He's going to do Mallrats 2 at the Exton Square Mall. That's where he's going to shoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it announced that initially it was going to start filming this past February. And we're like, oh, yeah. He's like, man, I'm going to need people out there. I'm going to have you guys help us get, you know, blah, blah, blah on this. And we were all pumped for it. February came and went. Nothing. And it goes on. And then we eventually had him on. We're like, what's going on? And he tells us this bureaucratic, this story of just how things fall apart.
In Smithian fashion.
It's going to happen. Yeah, because it took 35 minutes for him to tell us that, because he talks a lot, which is wonderful because he really gives you all the details. But how it, you know, you're walking up the line, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's happening, and it's not happening.
Yeah.
That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, quite a bit. It's interesting, like, they call it the green light, right? So you're going to get a green light to go make a movie. What I found is that the green light doesn't really ever happen. It just sort of slowly rolls out. And this is, you know, you're going to go make a $150 million movie and you're supposed to start shooting on Monday. You would think that you'd get the green light 6 months prior.
Right.
You get the green light on Friday.
Wow.
And you don't know whether or not you're flying to, you know, Egypt or wherever you're going to shoot it until Friday afternoon. And they say, oh, you're actually making it. Oh, okay. I guess I'm making it.
Wow. It's that precarious. With something that big. To me, the whole collective is so creative. You would figure, from our point of view, on the other side of the screen, would say, you've got to have, you know, cred and gravitas where you're behind something and you're championing it. But still, it doesn't matter. They look at it and somebody says, looks at this Pariah and says, no.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, that only gets you so far. But at the end of the day, it's one person's decision. And if they decide they don't want to do it, then they don't want to
do
it.
There you go. Yeah, wow.
I mean, you know, look, there was a whole big hullabaloo about like a few years ago how Steven Spielberg couldn't get the Lincoln movie made. He couldn't get it made. Steven Spielberg could not get a movie made and almost had to go to HBO to do it, and then eventually they wound up getting the financing, but that's crazy.
That's just amazing. Yeah.
Wow. I wanted to ask you about your involvement with Cora. It's been a lifelong thing for you.
It has.
And so they've had this golf tournament for a few years, and then they got you to be involved, and then you got us to be involved, and now it's sort of blown up, which is an awesome thing. Can you talk a little bit about what Cora does and why it's so important to you?
Yes. Cora, first of all, has been around for about 40 years, and my father worked there for most of it. So I've grown up in the community. It's an agency out in Northeast in Fox Chase that provides therapy and guidance to children and families experiencing emotional difficulties. people in crisis. And they have built their, it's just amazing how much they've grown over the years. They now service about 16,000 children, youth, and families across the city. And I just don't feel like there's enough awareness of what they do. So I'm just proselytizing for them, and I want to get involved as much as I can.
I'd never heard of it prior to your, we're pretty charity connected and get bombarded with requests all the time. So yeah, well, mission accomplished on that level, because it seems like a great organization, and it runs the gamut from all sorts of services as well. I mean, from the most dramatic to just, you know, keeping someone engaged and on the right path.
Yes. Yes. And I have a special affinity for it, not only because of my father, but they have a summer camp that I not only attended my entire youth, but then worked at all through high school. I was the maintenance man for a couple of years, and then I was
You were Bill Murray?
Yes, I was. And then I was a camp counselor for many years. So, I just feel like it's a great organization. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm very glad that you guys are a part of it as well.
Yeah, we're excited, man. And is the whole cast in town?
Everybody's going to be there. Charlie and I are going to play. Glenn's going to play.
Is the waitress there?
She's there.
Nice.
Danny is going to be the marshal.
Okay.
So he's going to drive around in a golf cart with a megaphone and make sure everybody's moving.
At a proper pace. Yeah.
Caitlin will be there. She's going to be running the live auction.
Okay.
See how foul mouthed she'll get for charity. But yeah, we're all going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice, man. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice day today, too. Trying to see if we're leaving anything out, because it's been 6 years since we've had.
Oh, I know. My wife has got a new show coming out on Fox.
What is it?
Called The Mick.
Oh, yeah, yes. We were talking about that just last week, yeah.
It's crazy funny.
Yeah.
It's crazy funny. Dude. It's great to see her as the lead of a show, and it's just...
She deserves it.
Yeah, yeah. Man, she's the best.
Did she dial it back at home? Because she is so insanely talented and
look
so
at his face.
Insanely funny. I
in
just...
what way? Dial back like the... insanity?
Yes.
The F-bombs. No, but yeah, what dialing back would you say? Just in her general... Kinetic.
Well, all right, so I really only know your wife as D.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So to me, that's she's a version of that at home. She's got to be a little bit like that at home.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure. Yeah, there's okay. a little bit
all right,
of it.
So, for instance, over the weekend, I was at a soccer tournament, right? Mm-hmm. And there was another guy who works for this company. He works in radio. He's a radio host. He and I were at the same barbecue afterwards, and at one point, he and I were both sitting off to the side, not talking, because, you know, people just assume that because we work on a radio show that we like to talk, and we do, but we also like to not talk.
Yeah.
So at one point, I kind of shaded off, and then he came walking by, and he was sitting down. I go, don't worry. I go, if you sit down, you won't have to talk at all. And he's like, oh, that's so great. And then we sat down, and we just sat there in silence for like... 15 minutes until.
So do you
found
sit
us.
In silence?
Yeah. What's, yeah. So my point is,
I can't wait to hear the point.
Yes.
What's
we're
the point?
All my too. Point is,
are we different at
God?
Work?
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yes, she's not a sociopathic narcissist degenerate.
Right.
Yeah.
Does she do voices? Does she do? Does she do accents?
She drinks.
Okay.
There you go. There's a there common ground.
There's the D in her.
Yeah.
Does she look the same when she's at home?
She looks very similar.
Okay. Yeah,
she's got blonde hair
at
home?
Yeah, but still has blonde hair, tall.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. Wow. All right, listen.
We can't end on that.
Well, we got to wrap it up, and Rob's got a long day ahead of him.
He's
got to head over to the golf course and start getting ready for this event.
I do.
All that good stuff. So, right. Rob McElhenney, ladies and gentlemen.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
The Beat File brought to you by Godshalls. Check out the new Godshalls packaging where you buy bacon. Easier to read nutrition, like 80% less fat than pork and 6 grams of protein. Real wood smoke taste, Godshalls.
Here's kind of a follow-up story. Authorities are investigating whether an electrician intentionally leapt to his death from the 53rd floor of Los Angeles' tallest skyscraper.
Wow.
Onto an intersection humming with a normal weekday's bustle. The coroner is also investigating the possibility of Thursday's death being a workplace accident because it happened at a construction site, but police and officials interviewed workers who said the fall appeared to be a suicide. There was no note left.
So the fall killed him?
Yes, the fall killed him.
Okay.
Took some time for people below to realize the horror of what had happened. Times photographer Mel Melcon, who was on assignment at the building, said no one thought it was a body. We heard no screams. The man was identified as Joseph Sabatino.
What was were there any indications that he had been despondent or anything leading up to that?
Not that I know of.
Nothing.
He had taken off his hard hat and had not been wearing a safety harness because it wasn't required for the bottom floors he had been working on. Work shut down on Friday and counselors will be on hand for employees.
So the tallest building in Los Angeles is
53 stories, I guess.
Not that tall.
LA doesn't have big, tall buildings. It's really spread out. But it's pretty wild because when the stories of jumpers and all that stuff, they really downplay it in the news. I mean, I think it happens a lot more, especially in New York, right?
Because, absolutely. But I guess they don't want to incite or...
They don't, yeah, and that's why they actually...
others?
Yeah, they actually won't report it unless it's causing another issue. Like, if there's a traffic issue, then they'll report it.
Sometimes happens on the bridges around here.
Yeah.
It does,
yeah.
And you don't really hear much about it because they don't want to sensationalize it. Right. Right. People are thinking about doing it.
Exactly.
In a horrifying incident, a man who suspected his sister-in-law of practicing witchcraft and black magic on his family, I think this took place in India, chopped off her head with a sharp-edged chopper.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did she finally give it up?
In Uttar Pradesh. According to the preliminary investigation by the police, the subject, Uttam, had been blaming his sister-in-law, Dandevi, of doing witchcraft on his brother, Takur.
Before you jump to conclusions, she was a witch.
He died on February 5th. He had been accusing her of tying some voodoo, it's called a tavij, which is a locket on a tree outside of their house.
You put your locket on the tree, you are a witch, and so I chopped her head off.
Which he believed had resulted in his brother's death. Eyewitnesses have reportedly told the police that on Thursday, Uttam again found a tavis tied to the same tree, and he got into an altercation with Dandevi, accusing her again of attempting to kill someone in his family by her witchcraft. Though Dandevi kept denying, Uttam picked up a chopper and hacked her over 15 times, dismembering her head from her neck.
We were able to reach a resolution.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Wow. Casey, this speaks to you. A nursery worker is suffering from a mysterious condition that causes parts of her teeth to fall out when she sneezes.
Oh, wow.
Lindsay Grant.
Just don't drink through a straw.
is in constant agony after her teeth crumbled away, leaving gaps for blood and pus to fill her mouth and triggering painful gum abscesses.
Blood and pus.
Yeah. The teenager has been bullied as a result of the illness and hospitalized due to repeated infections. And her crumbling teeth mean she can now only eat soft food. Ew.
Man, but that is pudding.
Doctors believe Miss Grant's type 1 diabetes may be causing her teeth to become weak. But she believes there is another cause and has shared her story in a desperate plea to find someone who can help her.
Is there anything they can do? Can they put in...
Well,
close,
yeah, the implants are too expensive for her.
Oh, man.
Dentists say the only treatment available is for her to get is to have all her teeth extracted, and she'll need to pay $40,000 for implants because they're classed as cosmetic dentistry. This is in the
UK. But she needs them, though.
She said, sometimes I just go home and cry because it really gets to me. But she sneezes sometimes, and they'll fall out. Isn't that messed up?
Ew.
After being diagnosed. Ew. After being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as a young child, Ms. Grant was taken to the dentist every 4 months for regular checkups. By age 14, she had never had a filling, so was surprised she started suffering pain in her back teeth.
That's horrific.
She underwent emergency treatment to have the nerves removed as they were hitting the roots of the teeth and causing her discomfort. But following the treatment, she found her teeth suddenly began to disintegrate. That sucks.
That's awful.
Wow. All right, what else do I have here for you? Something a little more pleasant.
Yeah, please. Somebody growing teeth where they don't want them.
This was pretty funny. This took place last week. Singing your heart out is great, but it won't necessarily get you out of going to jail. In Michigan, Detroit, Brian Earl Taylor found this out the hard way. After he was found guilty of unlawful imprisonment and carrying a concealed weapon, he belted out an apology to the judge to the tune of Adele's song, Hello.
And it wasn't even that good a rendering.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
He's saying, hello there, Your Honor. I want to say I'm sorry for that thing that I've done. So it's right out of hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have sang, after all that we've been through,
I will make it up to you. I promise you. And after all that's been said and done,
you're pardon me. I have a gun.
I have a gun.
We were all waiting.
Get him! Tackle him!
God, is that Chicago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Peter Cetera, right?
Yeah. Or Peter Cetera. Yeah, you're right. So anyhow, the judge, Judge Darlene O'Brien, told Taylor he was, quote, obviously a talented young man. But still sentenced him to
this is him, by the way.
To 2 years in prison.
Yeah.
He did have five other charges against him in the case dismissed, though, so maybe it worked a little bit, but didn't keep him from going to jail. All right, and then finally we'll end with this story. I love this story.
All right.
Okay, it's short and it's kind of silly, but I like it. Sometimes it's better not to be honest. Redditor user Vovicius, because they go by, you know, screen names.
Okay, Vovicius.
Uploaded a photo of his grandmother's decorative rock, which she has had in her house for 8 years. The problem is, it's not a rock. It's one of those giant jawbreaker candies all dried out.
Oh, my God. No.
So,
and he writes and says, I don't have the heart to tell her.
It's a decorative rock.
She thinks it's a decorative rock.
Like a colorful rock.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because it's got it's all
the colors.
But yeah, exactly.
Just...
And it's perfectly
petrified
round.
Gum.
There you go. There's a picture.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
He says he has no idea why it hasn't disintegrated or been taken over by ants, but he can't.
The chemicals, right?
He can't bring himself to tell his grandmother that it's a jawbreaker and not a decorative rock.
That's hilarious.
I love that.
And at this point, she should never know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. Totally.
At the point where she's about to slip into.
Oh, see, death. Part of it was cut open. Did you see that? Put that picture back up. So you know how there's a cross section and all the different colors? That's what
she
sees.
Look at that. That must be the iron pyrite. There's like 9 separate gems in there.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You don't find that in nature a lot.
Yeah.
And mostly in gumball machines.
It's very rare. It's very rare rock.
Grandma, I'm fading. I'm passing into the sweet release of death. It's gum. What?
You know, you could have waited and never told her.
I just wanted you to carry that with you.
All right.
Son of a gun.
That's what I have in the bizarre file for you.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Best burger in all of Philadelphia. Taste for yourself at this year's Burger Brawl in a brand new spot.
Round one. Fight.
Join 93.3 WMMR at the Navy Yard, Sunday, September 15th, and enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the city's top restaurants. Proceeds benefit the Fund for the School District of Philadelphia, a nonprofit supporting school literacy programs through technology. Tickets on sale now. Get complete details and all the ingredients for a great day at WMMR.com. Burger Brawl 2019. Let's go a few rounds. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Godshalls. Check out the new Godshalls packaging where you buy bacon. Easier to read nutrition, like 80% less fat than pork and 6 grams of protein. Real wood smoke taste, Godshalls.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, Justin Bieber explaining why he walked off stage during a concert in Manchester, England last week. Bieber told the London Daily Mail that his, quote, hiney made poo-poo.
Aw.
Oh, my God.
Donald Trump thanked Phil Robertson on Saturday after the Duck Dynasty patriarch voiced his support for him. Robertson also presented Trump with an authentic Civil War dueling pistol that he found in his beard.
Oh, my God.
And Caitlyn Jenner rumored to be getting additional plastic surgery to make her more attractive to men. And in a related story, Caitlyn officially unveiled her new line of bracelets made out of truck tires.
Yeah. That's a Hollywood trash. Ladies and gentlemen, family and friends, we are gathered here today to celebrate our dearest Kathy's quinceañera. Now, as is the tradition with many young Latina girls, the 15th birthday is celebrated as a rite of passage, as a transition to womanhood.
Yes, yes.
Sadly, 40 years ago, when Kathy was 15, she did not get her quinceañera, and she never fully made that leap to womanhood, despite what you may have read on various bathroom walls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Regardless, today we gather to right a wrong, to correct a mistake, to make good on a celebration that should have happened 40 years ago when Kathy was 15. So now we present to you on her quinceañera, which should have happened 40 years ago when she was 15. Kathy, Consuelo, Eva, Anastasia, Mercedes, Valentina, Black China, Romano, Best Mellencamp, and her quinceañera cook, yeah! Ladies and gentlemen! Oh.
Wow.
The ladies are entering into the studio.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Her court is entering into the studio. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Quinceañera.
Amazing! Oh my God! Describe Preston.
She looks so beautiful. And the music of Mariachi Flores. Yeah!
Yeah! Oh my God, the court looks gorgeous. Kathy looks phenomenal.
Mariachi Flores, our mariachi band here this morning. I'm going to give you the details on them. But Kathy, you look amazing. This is incredible.
I know I do, dummy. I always do.
She is wearing this aqua-colored dress with pink highlights all over it, a beautiful sparkly tiara, sparkly pink earrings, and a huge necklace
and
as
they
well.
Say in the language, the gown hugs your gazongas.
Yes.
Muy, muy bonita.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Gracias.
Oh, my Gracias. God.
Ah, very nice.
And let me introduce her court here this morning. We have April and Courtney and Karina, Angela and Elisa, who are
yes.
all part.
And Meredith.
I didn't even know Meredith was going to be a part of your court. And that dress fits you wonderfully.
Oh, Meredith knew either.
Como se dice sloppy.
And you know what? We were going to save him for later on. But ladies and gentlemen, the godfather of the morning, Bert Kreischer!
I've been working on my Mexican accent all day, but I feel very racist doing it in front of the mariachi band.
Listen, now,
so Bert, I will leave it for later.
Bert, we're going to make some concessions today because again, it's a celebration of this event, which we only really became aware of. Preston, you're keying off the Will Ferrell event.
Oh, yeah, and Chad Smith had their quinceañera party, which they thought it was overdue.
And we thought, man, if they're going to have it, Kathy, who clearly did look Puerto Rican when she was 15, needed one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this is all about, the realization of a dream and also sending her properly into womanhood.
Yes. Yeah, and I've got a lot of tips.
You said you have gone to your share of quinceañeras yourself.
I've been to it. They call it a plethora.
A plethora.
Zenny Fabellos, Marlene Tamayos, Michelle Tamayos.
Wow.
I've been to a lot of quinceañeras.
All right. Excellent.
Well, listen, I have a list in front of me here, are going to follow it. Because today, even though Bert is our guest of honor, Kathy is what today's show is all about. It's her quinceañera party.
Aww.
The one she never had 40 years ago. It wasn't 40 years ago, no. And listen, we have designated, and Bert agreed. He was officially asked, and he had agreed to be Kathy's surrogate godfather, and the godfather is a big part of the quinceañera party, right?
Yes, very big part.
And so he has to play a couple of roles in this.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that we need to do now is that, well, first of all, Kathy's godfather, her real godfather died in a tragic vacuuming accident.
Yeah, people don't know that.
That's why we had to replace him. So this is why you, Bert, have been honored.
That sucks.
agreeing to be her surrogate godfather on this most special day, which really should have happened 40 years ago when she was 15. Is there anything you'd like to say before we do this first dance moment between the godfather and the quinceañera princess?
You were legitimately honored when we brought it up on the phone, and you said you've attended a number of these yourself.
Yeah.
So anything you want to impart to Kathy before the dance? You've witnessed this actually happen.
Yeah, before the dance, Kathy, there's a lot of things you need to know about your body.
All right.
I don't know if it's happened to you. Once a month, you're going to get fat. I don't know why. It just happens. Yeah. You're going to get mean and fat. So get used to it.
Okay.
It's cool. Your body's going to grow. That's what men want.
Yeah.
Not right now, but when they're older. It is an honor to be your godfather. This is a touching moment. I remember when you were born, your dad looked at me and said, "One day, I want you to dance with this person. Take her shoes off and dance with her." I'm just shocked I'm still alive.
That's amazing.
When your dad looked at me, I was like, "You think I'll make it 15 years? Are you saying that I'll be here in 15 years? Why am I laughing so much today?" But well, let's bailar.
All right.
Let's bailar. Follow me.
I think we should do this. You guys
That's
ready?
That's the first dance for everyone.
The first dance. So, Bert, you can take your headphones off. Please. Kathy, you guys go center stage. Ladies and
listen, if things get sensual, just realize that's part of this ceremony.
There's traditionally a lot of groping and probing, correct?
Ladies and gentlemen, for this moment, Mariachi Flores.
Yay!
Oh, this is beautiful. So the two of them are meeting in front of the mariachi band. And Bert is kind of sashaying over. And you can watch all this. We have it live on streaming video. He has taken her hand, and now they begin the traditional dance. Oh,
I'm going to cry.
I know.
And Bert's dancing. He's wearing his scrubs.
Yes, he's wearing red scrubs today. Wow. Bert has some nice moves.
A beautiful song. Ah.
So dancing gorgeous. A waltz. And Bert, from time to time, will go, the hips are getting in now. It's turning into salsa. They've gone double time as they move back and forth. Bert is now down on his knees, holding his hand out, allowing Kathy to turn and move and use her dress. Living in the moment of this transformation from girl to... And now Bert is taking his shirt off. He's unbuttoning his shirt. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there it is.
And there it is.
The shirt is
the Godfather shirt has come off. He has slammed it on the ground. And now he's moving it to wrap his shirt around her neck and pull her in, Magic Mike style, as he is now grinding on this young woman, blossoming into womanhood. And he is now backing his hiney up, and she's spanking him as well. As he gyrates and pops his butt back and forth, this is unbelievable.
Knowing what Kathy thinks about sweaty shirts, this is... Oh, my yes. God, she's hugging it now.
She is. And he's taking kind of a matador type of stance. And they're back to the traditional waltz. Oh, this is wonderful.
I'd like to share my God.
Yeah!
Nick, he's allowing you to step in. Showing an ass now. Nick is taking awkwardly Kathy's hand.
Gorgeous. Bert, you have some moves on you.
Steve is stepping in for a dance. Take a moment here. Oh, this is really precious. Very precious. Are we all going to dance? Steve is... Just doing a few dances. Here comes Casey. He's moving in. He's across the room.
Oh, boy.
And Bert has now tossed Kathy. Casey is doing the eighth grade lean-in slow dance.
With his head planted her bosom. Squarely on her chest.
Steve, I'm going in.
All right, Preston going over. By the way, we've all tasted Bert Kreischer's sweat off of Kathy. Preston, clearly the paternal figure for Kathy here. Dancing, lovely. saying goodbye to the young lady, soon to welcome the adult woman, Kathy, gyrating. It's beautiful, Preston. Well done. Oh,
so touching.
Wonderful.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Mariachi Flores.
Yes.
Look at that. That is beautiful dancing right there. Look at that. Kathy. This should be a music video for Julio. What's the guy's name?
Iglesias.
That's good. Way to go, guys. We should be on a game show.
I kept, Dan, that was good.
I was stepping on Kathy's quinceañera dress.
No. It's not even possible not to. It's huge.
I know.
Apparently, I did better than you, Nick.
Okay. That was awesome.
Bert, guys, you've got some moves.
Yeah,
dude,
1,700 steps in that one.
On your Fitbit?
On my Fitbit. I'm up there.
Yeah.
I was at 700, and now we're a little out of breath. I'm not going to lie to you. Guess I can't be on Dancing with the Stars.
On one of the medical dramas, yes.
Exactly.
That was wonderful. Well, we all get a dance. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, thank you. See, we rely on you, Bert, because you've been, and a number of our invitees today have actually had quinceañeras of their own, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So, again, we are neophytes when it comes to this stuff, but we're learning. We love it.
By the way, we love
the culture.
One of the girls who's here, her sister's quinceañera cost $35,000.
Oh, my God.
What?
That cost more than my wedding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Way more than my wedding.
Wow.
It cost more than my wedding, too.
What's your name again?
Karina.
That costs more than our bathroom.
Karina.
Hi, Karina. So who's quinceañera cost that much?
My sister's.
Oh, my. And did you get one that was that expensive?
No, I went on a trip to Europe.
Okay. So
and then I had a party at my house. I'm from Panama.
Okay.
We don't wear a tiara or change the shoes.
But they get rings that are similar to a wedding ring.
Oh, wow. Can I see that?
Well, no. Mine is small.
Oh, it does, okay. It's still fitter, guys.
It has diamonds in it.
Oh, my gosh. So it can be different in different cultures. They have different traditions and so forth?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, right. So as far as you know now, are we doing okay with the celebration?
We're doing amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Could I just give a shout out to my friend Chris?
A shout
Monish?
Out?
Yes.
Yeah, we do the thing instead of shout outs, we do shout outs.
I thought you meant said that. I was like, oh, definitely.
I could actually fart, but I'm wearing a dress.
Here's your shout out.
You can't hear it, but we're playing the song Panama from Van Halen.
Just for you.
And Steve, give her a shout, please. All right, there you go. And that's for who?
Chris Wanish.
All right, Chris. All right, Chris.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here, Karina.
Yeah.
Part of Kathy's court this morning and her quinceañera. All right, well, we are going to do the shoe tradition, I believe. And
we need Kathy on a chair. Right.
Yeah, it's time to move on to one of the most important parts of the quinceañera celebration, which is the high heel ceremony. You forgot what?
I have a sombrero for Bird. I brought one in.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Is that a yarmulke sombrero?
We're gonna miss some stuff, and the others. We're learning. But we just got the thumbs up from an authentic quinceañera recipient.
That is correct. All right, so now the high heel ceremony in which Godfather Bert will remove Kathy's flat heeled shoes. And and now if you want to
take my margarita,
you can take your margarita.
There's a little script there if you want to read it.
Oh,
but
whatever you want,
Bert. You're the expert here.
I might go off book, gentlemen.
Oh, by all means, yes.
So what happens is Bert will remove Kathy's flat heeled shoes and replace them with high heel shoes.
All right.
Thus signifying her transition into womanhood.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so Kathy's sitting on a chair, and Neil
Bert's kneeling on a broken knee.
Bert is kneeling down.
I'm still breathing hard from dancing.
Bert
sweating pretty aggressively.
You look like sort of a manatee ready to perform. Oh. Yeah.
Thank you. Can we not do the over the shoulder shot? Perfect. Kathy.
Yes.
These shoes are symbolic. When your father Pedro, what's your dad's name?
Robert.
Roberto said to me, Bert, I need you to take care of Kathy. I said, Roberto, yo soy your man.
Yeah.
And these shoes are symbolic. I've seen you as a little girl running around the house, carefree, high as a kite, having a blast, playing without a thought of your future. And those days are dead, Kathy. And these flats symbolize that fun you had as a child. I'm taking them off.
There they go.
Your feet look fantastic. Your feet look great. We take these off and we welcome you to womanhood.
Wow.
Jimmy, you. This is what life's about.
Yeah.
It's about cardiologist appointments. It's about going to the doctor once a year, going to the dentist as much as you can. It's about corns and bunions. These shoes are going to make your feet uncomfortable at the end of every day. But realize that's a responsibility as a woman. This is technically like a, an episiotomy of life.
Yeah.
Oh my We're welcoming God. You. Oh my into
an episiotomy of life.
In dashed.
Yeah.
How do you get these on? I feel like Prince.
It's hard, isn't it?
Talking to Cinderella's other sisters.
By the way, Esther.
Do we have some lube?
Alisa really.
By the way, speaking of which,
brought in Jimmy Choo's.
That's for later.
But I
in
welcome
the
you into this, and I impart on you some advice.
Okay. Yeah.
That all women should know.
Thank you.
If a guy ever wants to videotape you and him having sex, talk really loud during the entire production and say things like, it's so small, it smells weird, are you going to cry this time? Because he's not showing that tape to anybody.
Brilliant advice. Salient advice from Bert Kreischer.
Father Bert Kreischer.
That's someone who cares about you.
Yes, it is.
I care.
Thank you.
He cares. Beautiful. Well done, sir. As good a piece of advice as I've ever heard given to a young lady.
I was just going to say,
during your sex tape.
No one's ever given me advice like that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty darn good
advice. Pretty good advice.
Wow. Thank you.
Say it's small, it smells, you're terrible.
Yeah.
He's never shown that to anyone.
No one's taking a look at that.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant advice.
Good idea.
So, Kathy, there is one more, a final component of this most joyous quinceañera. It's Kathy's tribute to each member of the Preston and Steve show. So, Kathy, this is your chance, and this is part of the quinceañera ceremony.
It's what Wikipedia says.
This is your chance to tell us what we mean to you, and it's your chance to tell us what you think of each of us as well. So, would you like to have that
time?
Yes,
well, I wanted to thank you guys. I mean, this wouldn't have been possible without you. So, you mean so much to me. You've been in my life for a really long time now, 15 years.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank each one of you. So, Preston, you are at times a father, at times a brother, at times a guy. I text pictures of big black dudes with huge veiny dongs.
It's true.
When I need a friend, when I need a shoulder to cry on, I know it is you and only you. I can text those big black dudes with huge veiny dongs. And that means the world to me.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. You.
Love you, woman.
Steve, my dear Steve. You also buy me breakfast pizza. In many ways, you remind me of Dennis, and mostly in how neither of you have seen me naked.
That's true. That's true, yes.
Casey, they say whoever smelt it, dealt it. But in your case, the hand you deal is always warm compassion and kind of rotting, gassy stench usually emitted from decomposing whales. People often observe that at times we fight like brother and sister, and other times like husband and wife. And I know, being from Delco, you probably think that's the same.
Oh, man.
Oh,
wow.
Steve.
Wow.
No, that's Kathy.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. I had nothing to do with that.
Nick, I know we share a special bond on the show, the type of bond that can only be formed when one person has to listen to the slobbering, slurping, grinding, chomping symphony of disgust that is the other person eating a banana. I won't say which one of us specifically is the disgusting eater, but it's you, Nick. And I die a little bit inside every time I see you open your maw to throw in some produce. Marissa, the young lady who has often dreamed of being me while having to endure living in the shadow of my much larger rack. But I'll go lightly on you, Marissa, and just say I hope that you took dance as a kid because something tells me you'll be doing 12 steps soon.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, who wrote these?
Not me, okay?
Kathy.
Love you.
Maybe you should check out a bar where nobody knows your name. That said, we are the only women on the show, and I will always have your back, even though I just stuck a knife in it.
Zora
is. Can I have those condoms now?
Special. That is wonderful. Well, so that's officially all that we have in the ceremony this morning.
She is officially a woman.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
More than a woman. You'll be a woman soon.
Oh, man, so now we get to eat that cake. And,
cake. Now, I assume it's with any celebration, you have to cut the cake first, right?
Yeah, when we go to break, I'll go out there and I'll cut up the cake for everybody.
Right. There are more ceremonies to take care of in the quinceañera.
We got
to
get
at least Wikipedia. Yes, the pregnant.
Do it.
It is the job of the godfather to carry on the bloodline.
You guys got some good sensual first sex music?
Oh, of course.
And make it better be quick, like under a minute.
Mariachi Flores, can you guys play up one more song as we're on our way out?
Like a good sex song.
Yeah.
Whenever
you want me to
ready.
Do it? Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Dropping the money.
I'm dropping. I thought you wanted me to hump the ground. He's like, get down on the ground. And I was like, yes, sir.
That's Jose. He's
cuddle.
There you go.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, and with that, we will take a break and we will come back. And we will have more of Cassie's.
La cocina o la sala.
Quinceañera celebration. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.